Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. John Canzano.
People don't like to hear the truth all the time. You know, people ask you questions, but they don't actually necessarily want to hear the answers.
Love him.
I mean, I like the guy. I listen to him every day.
Canzano, what's going on, man?
He's dead sexy.
I think he does a damn good job.
I'm going to be rooting for this young Portland team, which, you know, is a terrific team. You guys just have a terrific nucleus.
You pay attention to detail. That's why you're so successful.
I just think he's honest. Straightforward and to the point.
You're bringing up something that's probably the average sports fan watching the game didn't pick up on.
I'm really glad to see that someone who speaks their mind is not afraid to tell it how it is.
He's a smart guy. That's my dude, man. Yeah, I know him, man. I let my mother listen to him.
Hate him.
You don't want to give nobody a second chance. Trump.
To represent that as some sort of subterfuge by John Canzano, I would have expected far better.
He just sounds like an egotistical idiot.
He was rude, crude, and wrong.
Love to hate him.
Yo, John, I can't stand you. I can't stand you, but I come back every day to listen to the show.
Bald faith truth teller.
Who is he to judge?
Well, he can raise your eyebrows a lot.
I was angry. He just got my feathers that day, big time.
Now, from the Pac West Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth, brought to you by High Caliber Millwrights. In need of getting your plant or machinery job done right the first time and on time? Then call High Caliber today.
All right, we got a great radio show for you today. I am broadcasting today from the ground floor of the Pac West Center. I'm in the live studio where the performers like Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran have performed. And today the team from Therapedia is here. So if you're in the downtown area of Portland, I've got something special for you. You hear me talking about Therapedia and body composition and being under construction and getting back to being active and rehabbing. Well, the team from Therapedia is here, and they are doing their body composition testing today. So if you are somebody who wants to get high-tech body composition testing, the in-body system that Therapedia uses, it is a phenomenal test that takes you, about 5 minutes to complete. If you come in and walk in, they're doing it complimentary today. You can get your body testing. You can see if your body's in balance. What's your lean muscle mass on your right side versus left side, your right arm versus left arm, your legs. It is a phenomenal test and gives you a great baseline if you're somebody who's trying to rehab an injury or somebody who's just trying to stay in shape. So if you are in the downtown Portland area, I am broadcasting live. I'd love to see you today. I'd love to give you a fist bump. We are in the ground floor, the live studio at the Pac West Center, so stop by here. We've got a great show for you with big guests. Of course, Rick Barry's going to be here. He's always opinionated, former NBA champion. Baxter Holmes will be with us, the NBA writer for ESPN. He's going to tell us about the secret wine society that is going on. Not wine like boo-hoo, but wine like grapes and vineyards. The secret wine society in the NBA. What is that about? We'll talk to Baxter Holmes about that coming up. Also, though, I want to start today's show. Yesterday, there was a little bit of a stir on the program. And I'm not surprised that the podcast of yesterday's interview with Austin Meek, the columnist at the Eugene Register Guard, blew up. I'm not surprised at that because Meek came on and talked about Mario Cristobal in a way that he's just not sure on Mario Cristobal. Maybe I can have Brandon Droz cue up an Austin Meek audio clip from yesterday's interview. He's up six floors higher. Do you feel like you're six floors above me right now, Droz?
I kind of do, but at the same time, it's just weird not looking to my left and seeing you.
You sound like you're right here. Are you going to come down and get your body composition testing?
If I have time, I'll definitely try.
Gliss is coming down. Alabama Adriana just did it, so we're going to get her results. We're going to broadcast those live on air. And for the rest of you, we will not do that live on air, but come on down here. There's some food. There's some drink. Our promotions team is set up right outside the live studio doors, so you can compete for some free swag and come inside and get your body composition testing. But Austin Meek on yesterday's show talked about Mario Cristobal and said that he just wasn't sure He wasn't convinced that Cristobal is an improvement over where the Ducks were 3 years ago, 2 years ago, even last season under Willie Taggart. He looked at the recruiting rankings that came out. You're seeing Oregon with a top 15 class. Under Mark Helfrich, they were a top 20 class. And he's just not sure. And it caused a lot of discussion with Duck fans. And it got me thinking about Beaver fans, because you've got two brand new coaches, again, at Oregon State and Oregon. You've got two programs that are moving, you know, trying to get trajectory, trying to get momentum. You've got Cristobal, who mostly held on to a recruiting class that was the number one ranked class in the country when Willie Taggart had it. So I want to know, from Duck fan standpoint, are you buying what Mario Cristobal is selling? Because Austin Meek says he's not sure. I say, you know, I want to believe in what Cristobal is selling, because I like that he's trying to do something physical. He's trying to bring big bodies in. It appears that he has a plan. He wants to play SEC-style football in the Pac-12. And guess what? SEC-style football rules nationally. So I am buying what Mario Cristobal is selling. Meek says not so sure. I want to know what you think. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. And if you're a Beaver fan, you haven't seen Jonathan Smith coach a game. He's a nice guy. He has a nice sales pitch. He's a 5'9", 5'10" guy who's selling, hey, you can come to Oregon State and you can be a good guy who works hard and we can have success here. And he's a guy who knows what it takes to win at a big level in major college football, because he's done it as a player and he's seen it at Washington. But are you buying what Jonathan Smith is selling at Oregon State? I'm more skeptical of Smith, not because I don't believe in him, just because I haven't seen proof of performance. I know Cristobal a little better. Smith, I'm getting to know. But I want to hear from Beaver fans as well. Are you buying what Jonathan Smith is selling to this point? And Drost, do you have that audio clip of Austin Meek talking about Cristobal at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's
do.
Let's cue it up.
I'm not totally sold on the vision and the direction for what they're doing, because Oregon has had such a distinct identity for so long. And it seems like Mario Cristobal is doing a 180 from that. You know, it seems like he wants to really come in and play SEC-style football, the big offensive lineman, the fourth quarter offseason thing that Nick Saban came up with.
So do you agree with Meek? Are you not sold as well? Because it caused a lot of discussion on Twitter. That podcast blew up. It got about three times the listens that a normal podcast gets. And I think it blew up because it does spur a lot of conversation, a lot of debate. Because, look, on one hand, if you're looking at Mario Cristobal, you may, Oregon got put in a bad position when Willie Taggart said he was leaving. Forget about the Vegas Bowl. He wasn't that excited to be here. So Willie Taggart decides he's going to Florida State. It leaves Oregon in a lurch. They turn to Mario Cristobal because he's the most qualified guy in the room when they look around. They hand him the keys, and Cristobal has mostly kept the recruiting class in position, mostly held it together. But I think if I hear Meek correctly, what he's saying is, look, we haven't seen the guy coach a game. He's going to try something that in theory sounds great, but the Pac-12 schools have always had trouble recruiting head-to-head against the SEC's best schools. So what makes Mario Cristobal think that he can peel away the kinds of kids that go to SEC schools and do it well? So are you competing at Oregon with less than talent, with Mark Helfrich caliber talent, and are you any better off than you were 3 years ago? I want to hear from you, whether you're listening on Fox Sports Eugene or in Klamath Falls at 93.3 FM or in Portland at 102.9 and 750 The Game. Phone number again, 503-417-7575. In the meantime, I want you to, if you're in the Portland downtown corridor, to stop by the live studio, get your body composition. There are a fair number of people here who are doing it now. I'm excited to see what Alabama Adriana's results are. She's got them in her hands. We'll share that coming up. And I'll have Jason and Kelly, two of the physical therapists who are stars. They're just stud physical therapists for Therapedia. They will pop on air as well to help us understand why body composition is important. To play devil's advocate with Mario Cristobal, look, if you're going to sell the idea that you're buying what Cristobal is selling, if you're going to get behind that, you're getting behind the idea that Mario Cristobal, in a conference that has USC, Stanford, and Washington, has decided that the way to beat those guys and the way to get over on them is to play more physical football. We've heard Cristobal talk. We've heard all the language. We've seen him recruit a little bit. The reason why I'm buying Cristobal more than Austin Meek is because I do think he's a stronger, more inspired leader than Mark Helfrich was. Helfrich recruited top 20 talent, but I just didn't see it from Helfrich from a leadership standpoint. Nice guy, smart coordinator, a good football mind, but not a guy that's going to lead us through a, you know, burning hot burn, make you walk over hot burning coals to go play football for him. He just didn't have that edge for me. And I think that's where the program sort of unraveled around him. When you have top 20 talent that's playing sloppy, that isn't disciplined, that isn't executing the way with the efficiency that the Chip Kelly teams executed with, I just don't know if you can look fans in the eye and say, hey, fans, this is a program that's headed somewhere greater and somewhere bigger just by virtue of the fact that you know, Mark Helfrich's teams didn't achieve at the level that they should have. So I want to hear from you on that subject. I want you to weigh in there. I also think it was interesting last night in the Warriors game. Did you see what happened in the Warriors game? 16-point. We talked about this for the degenerate gamblers out there who listen to the show. We talked about this yesterday. Warriors is a 16-point favorite in an NBA game, won by damn near 50 points last night against the Phoenix Suns. Just blew them off the court. Steve Kerr, at different points of the game, hands the clipboard to different players and says, you coach the team. Draymond Green among them. Kerr defending that today. A lot of people saying that it was classless, that he showed up the Phoenix Suns. Is it classless to let your team, to let other guys on the team grab the clipboard and coach the team for a few minutes? Or is Steve Kerr using that as a teachable moment? Because you can spin that both ways. 503-417-7575. Weigh in on that as well. All three of us yesterday, I thought that was interesting, Gliss and Droz. All three of us yesterday thought, if we were degenerate gamblers, which we're not, all three of us thought that we would take the Warriors because I like betting on good teams versus betting on bad teams. I would not take 16 points in the Phoenix Suns anytime. You guys feel good about your wagers yesterday?
Yeah, I feel good. Like I said, that I didn't think they needed to even play a lot of their starters, and there were the starters coaching the team instead.
I was tracking the score of that game, and I was like, why didn't we bet money on that?
I was just telling Gliss about that a second ago. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm actually watching this score go up, saying, okay, as long as it stays over 16 here.
Yeah, you felt like you had something at stake. Like, people tell me all the time, they're like, oh, you know, if you believe so much in what you say, why don't you put some money on it? I'm like, I bet every day with my reputation on this show. And Nebraska fans know better than anybody. They're all over me for predicting that Scott Frost would not end up at Nebraska. I wager every day in every way when I tweet something, when I say something. So you guys were in the same boat yesterday placing a bet. All right, weigh in on that. Was Kerr classless to let a player coach his team in an NBA game? Did it show up the Phoenix Suns? Or do you believe, hey, look, if you don't want to be shown up, do something about it? And on the matter of Mario Cristobal, are you buying what he's selling? We got great guests in front of us and a big radio show. Again, stop by the live studio. We're on the ground floor of the PacWest Center downtown. Get your body composition tested from the Therapedia team. They're the best in the Portland metropolitan area, especially TherapediaPortland.com is where you can find them. But if you're an employer, too, this would be a great thing for your employees to bring Therapedia in and do body composition testing. So, you know, if you're working in an office or you're an office manager and you think, you know, what do I want to do for the health of the employees? Therapedia can come in and do this in-body testing for your employees. They do that. All right, you're listening to the Bald-Faced Truth on the BFT Radio Network. We're broadcasting today from the live studio, bottom floor of the PacWest Center. You can stop by, walk in, and get the in-body body composition testing done here. The team at Therapedia has set up here a satellite office here in the live studio. Cool venue. Stop by. Our promotions team is giving stuff away. We've got food and drink. And so if you're in the neighborhood in downtown Portland between 12 and 3 while this show is on, I want you to stop by. I'd love to see you here. Got a fair amount of people in the room now. I want to play that clip of Mario Cristobal, Austin Meek. Austin Meek, the columnist of the Eugene Register Guard, caused a little bit of a stir on yesterday's show when he talked about how Cristobal was recruiting and the fact that he's just not buying everything that Cristobal's selling. Cue that up, Droz.
what's been the knock on Oregon for so long is that they can get the small, fast guys, but they can't get the high-quality big guys to come. Well, they signed some really big dudes in this class. So, you know, I'll give him credit for maybe getting into some places that Oregon hasn't been before.
So there you go. You've got Meek saying, look, he's giving him credit for getting kids that he's not getting before, but he also isn't sure if it's going to work. I want to bring on Andrew Greif of the Oregonian. If you want to weigh in on this, you can at 503-417-7575. Andrew Greif of the Oregonian joining us. Greif, Cristobal's doing it a little different than guys have done it in the past. He wants to be big. He wants to be physical. He still says he's going to spread the field out and throw the ball. But at this point, are you buying everything that he's selling?
You know, without any evidence to say otherwise, I guess because of the success Austin acknowledged in recruiting, with getting the Justin Johnsons, you know, Penei Sewells, those kind of guys, I guess I have to also believe that they're on the right track at least. We'll see how the kind of the mind meld between Cristobal, who has that power run, you know, background from Alabama especially, and Marcus Arroyo, who brings that more spread philosophy from Oklahoma State, how they kind of meld that thing together and how successful it can be in the fall. But right now, you can definitely see that the recruiting class was a reflection of Cristobal himself. You know, they want to be big in the trenches and speedy on the perimeter.
Let me ask you, you saw Mark Helfrich with top 20 recruiting classes. Is Oregon better off now than it was when Helfrich was recruiting and in charge of this program?
Well, I mean, the high water mark was when Chip was around, obviously. That was the number 11 class in 2011 with the Armstead and DeAnthony Thomas. I think that they probably are in a better position because the recruiters, I think that there is probably more faith in the staffers as recruiters, as pure guys who can get in the living rooms. That's kind of what they're hanging their hat on in a lot of ways. Willie brought the bulk of this staff together for that one purpose, and most of them stuck around. So I do think that the ability to get into a living room is probably at a higher level than it was, you know, 2014, 2015.
He wants to be big and physical. Can you do that when the SEC is pulling the best kids to their conference, the best big physical kids there? And then you've got Stanford and Washington who are physical in the Pac-12. Are you going to out-recruit them?
Well, I don't think you can really out-recruit Stanford in a lot of ways on the offensive line. I just think that those guys, they have a reputation by now of just recruiting fantastic offensive linemen and fantastic running backs behind them. You know, Washington also is getting in on that, to your point. It's going to be tough because I think Austin is right. Oregon, the Achilles heel has always been getting that really good big guy. You know, the defensive line has been something that's been a problem for years, and can they get that game changer on the D-line? And I think that last year you saw some success there, especially. And that comes off the heels of DeForest Buckner. So I think you're seeing encouraging signs. Will they be able to recruit them year after year? I don't know. But I think that what Salovea and Cristobal specifically bring to Oregon is a chance to get those kind of guys every now and then that perhaps in the past was more of a moonshot.
How did I end up as the glass half full guy in this conversation with Cristobal? I mean, everybody's apprehensive. Why is everybody apprehensive?
I certainly don't. I don't think I'm coming off as apprehensive. I don't know. I think that they are in a better place, again, especially because of Salovea and Cristobal.
Yeah.
With the pull they have on those two position groups in particular, which, of course, are the defensive line and offensive line, the important ones for the big guys, I think they have incredible cachet to walk into recruits' homes and pull them. Especially, I mean, Salovea, his reach in the Pacific with the, you know, the island, American Samoa, he's had a long track record of pulling a lot of guys, you know, to Washington State, who have been really, really good linemen of all places. And so I think that he brings that in a way that, you know, past D-line coaches at Oregon just didn't.
Fa'atui Tuatelli, 6'5", D-lineman. He's the number one player in the 2019 class out of Hawaii. He was on a visit last week at Oregon. They took him to the Marcus Mariota Performance Center. They posed for photographs in front of the Mariota you know, shirts, and this is a kid that if Cristobal lands, it is that blue chip four-star guy on the defensive line that they've been looking for, you know, for a couple years at least. Is that the kind of landmark battle he needs to win to justify playing and wanting to play physical and big?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I also remind people that Oregon did land that kind of landmark guy in Kenton Kamatule a few years ago. you know, a five-star, one of the very best defensive linemen in the entire country. And just the development didn't work out. He was hurt. So sometimes you can land that guy. At Oregon, it's become rarer and rarer just because of it's, again, it's not a destination place for the big guys, at least hasn't been. But then you have to develop and make sure that they're healthy. So sometimes it can be you can do your job getting the guy on a campus, but then, you know, you still have 4 or 5 years to work the guy out. So I think that this would – he would be – Tuatele would be obviously just a, probably the landmark guy of that 19 class.
Andrew Greif of the Oregonian with us. He covers the Ducks football program. They're going to open in, you know, their schedule next season, Bowling Green at home, Portland State at home, San Jose State at home. Barring a disastrous start or something horrible that happens, Mario Cristobal is 3-0 heading into conference play, and he's got a chance to win 8, 9, 10 games with Justin Herbert at quarterback. What's it going to take for people to say Cristobal was a slam dunk, no-brainer hire? Is it one season? Is it a good start? What is it?
You know, it seems like if you haven't done, and I'm talking globally on a national scale, it seems like if you're a new hire, hasn't done something big by year two, that's when people start to wonder. That just, you know, I think that has just become the benchmark, year two, for whatever reason. Year one, you're always going to be able to get some leeway. But by year two, you have to show that you are making tremendous headway toward a conference title or beyond. And I think, obviously, that will be, I think, the better measuring stick. It's just become the thing that we are accustomed now to measuring our coaches by is how they can do in year two. They don't even have a full, you know, 4 year of guys of recruiting classes in there yet, but this is what has become the new standard. So next year, though, because the schedule does seem to be so soft, especially in the early going, I think that you're going to see probably some of those expectations accelerated quite a bit. You know, they should be 3-0 after 3 weeks, and they have Stanford at home, I believe, right after that. So you have a good chance of ending the first month 4-0. Although I say, you know, year two will probably be more fair to Cristobal because of the way the schedule works out, you will probably see people expecting, hey, you know, we thought 9 or 10 wins was possible this year. If they fall short of that, I think that you'll probably see some people who are disappointed.
On Twitter, Sam asks a great question. He says, look, Stanford's shown that bigger, stronger SEC style can win in the Pac-12. But he asks, is the Oregon culture ready for that? Because you have this innovation, we're cool, we've got the jerseys, we're on the cutting edge, we're doing something new. Can that culture shift to be, hey, we're going to just pile drive people?
Well, I don't think it's going to be that dramatic. It's not going to be a total 180 where they're going, you know, just to Stanford style of football. It's going to still be that up-tempo spread element offense. That's what Arroyo brings, and he is a play caller next year. Don't forget that. But I do think that they could pivot more, a little bit more toward that kind of bully football reputation because, you know, only so many teams in the country are doing that. That's why Stanford is unique in their approach. So, you know, Oregon is that place that likes to say that they don't have any tradition. Their tradition is change, right? That's kind of been their calling card, the marketing-wise, the last few years. Well, what better in that spread era would be to kind of pivot back toward the old school football in at least a little bit of a way? So I think that they could spin that as being, yeah, this is our way of being innovative is kind of going zigging where others are zagging.
Andrew Greif for the Oregonian with us. Before I cut you loose, Herbert's back. There's still people, you know, who can't get the Vegas Bowl, the image of what happened in the Vegas Bowl out of their heads. What do you think happened in the Vegas Bowl as you look back? And should that be a cause for concern for fans moving forward? I mean, Cristobal is 0-1 technically as a coach here and got blown out.
Yeah, if people want to take that as if they're worried about that, I don't think there's any reason that there's any way that you could kind of tell them otherwise because it was a really, really bad way to start. Regardless of what happened that week, how the coaches were basically gone most nights recruiting because of the bowl landed on the recruiting weekend and they lost that whole week. I mean, just the performance was really bad. So you're not going to be able to tell people otherwise because it was a bad loss. But I think that obviously we have to, I mean, he was the head coach for 8 days at that point. I do think we have to probably take the longer view on this, but that's going to sit in people's, you know, be a bad taste until September, until the first game. I understand that. I don't think that's going to be the reflection of the team next year, but I do think that it was certainly nothing that they would have ever wanted to have happened. I mean, that was a very bad first step, and although we probably should have seen it coming, given that, you know, the coaches were having to do basically three jobs that week, you know, keeping their own staffers on staff, trying to recruit them, recruiting players and coaching players at the bowl site. It was obviously not what they wanted, but I don't know. I would think that that's going to be the exception, not the rule next year.
All right, Greif, I will cut you loose. I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you.
Andrew Greif of the Oregonian, tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT. Tell me what you think. Are you buying Mario Cristobal? I want to turn the discussion towards Steve Kerr. Suns guard Troy Daniels is saying, hell yeah, it bothered me. It was disrespectful. He threw some serious shade at Steve Kerr for letting Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green coach the Warriors last night. Was Kerr wrong to let the kids drive the Lamborghini? We talk about that next. To see you today. What I'm saying is I'm broadcasting. I should say we are broadcasting because there's a group of people here. I'm at the live studio, PacWest Center, downtown Portland. I don't necessarily need you to drive from Klamath Falls or Eugene if you're listening on the BFT Radio Network, but if you're in the downtown Portland area or you're going to be downtown between 12 and 3, between now and 3, stop by. The live studio is in the bottom floor of the PacWest Center. That is at the corner of Jefferson and 5th, Southwest Jefferson and 5th. And we've got food, we've got drink, and most importantly, we have the team from Therapedia set up here where they are doing in-body body composition testing. Jason Villarreal is one of the physical therapists and the gurus at Therapedia who has been kind enough to set up here. Jason, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having us, John.
Alabama Adriana just did her body composition, and we're going to use her as an example here. Alabama Adriana, how did that go?
It was great. It was different than anything I've ever done before.
Was it painful?
Not painful at all.
Did it take a lot of time, or was it quick?
It was very quick.
And what were you most interested in learning when they were doing this body composition testing?
I really wanted to see if I had balance between my legs and my arms, and I really just wanted to see if all the work that I've been putting in has been paying off, really.
All right, she's under construction, Jason. You're looking at her readout. What do we call this?
It's a body composition analysis, if you want to call that. It's pretty simple.
All right, what do you see there? Do we have your permission to share your numbers on air? All right, we're going to share anyway. But
so the way we describe it is a super accurate test in regards to comparison to the hydrostatic test, which is the gold standard. It's 98% accurate compared to that, and is quick. It's easy, like Adriana said. And from a PT standpoint, our bread and butter is really figuring out if there's muscle balance. And if there is muscle balance, we can figure out that they would potentially prevent an injury. So we talked about Adriana's segmental lean analysis, and we discussed, okay, is there an asymmetry greater than a half pound arm versus right and left or right and left leg? And then we also talked about the importance of building muscle mass versus also decreasing body fat mass, which has a positive effect on metabolism. And it's better information to figure out your nutrition and health and plan yourself for future.
You guys do this as a service too. I know that a couple of employers have reached out and said, hey, how do we get them to come set up? Is this a good thing? Is this a team building thing? Is this a health thing that if you've got a small office or a group of people, you can, as an employer, you can provide this service?
Yeah, we can actually, the reason we brought it here is it's portable. It's easy to bring. And it can definitely be valuable from an employer standpoint because you can figure out if someone is going to be at risk for injury, if someone is at risk for potential health issues in the abdomen region, which they call visceral fat, or figuring out what your imbalances may be.
In December, I did this at the Lake Oswego Clinic where you are located. I'm curious to see where I am now.
Yeah, we'll do a comparison.
And does the system keep my data?
Yes. Yep. So you'll have an ID. Currently use people's cell phone. So unless your number changes, that's your ID. And then we will put you in and then test you. And it does comparison from pre and post.
All right, on Alabama Adriana's printout there, what do you see? Let's share some personal information here.
Sure. we measured her height. We took her age.
How tall is she?
She is 5'8.7".
Almost 5'9".
Yep.
She claims 5'9". So,
well, the important piece about that is if you come to us and say, yeah, I'm 5'9", and you're really 5'8.7", and then it takes your mass.
Yeah.
And then it says, well, actually, you're really 5'8.7 based on an exact measure for height that we have. But it takes the mass and it calculates it for higher. It takes that mass and then it extrapolates it to everything on it, such as fat, muscle, segmental lean analysis. So it has to be accurate.
How in balance is she when you see right side, left side, and, you know, right arm, left arm? What are we talking about?
She's actually doing quite well. Now, she mentioned to me that she trains 5 days a week, and she works really hard at trying to make herself really healthy and symmetrical and strong. Her work is showing here. So on average, she's above 100% muscle mass for every extremity, arm, right, left, trunk, right leg, left leg. And it's important to know that trunk is defined by the top of your shoulders to what you're sitting on, so your sit bones. And if you're over 100%, you're doing pretty good. And then if you look at, for her, we're looking at her right arm and her left arm. Her left arm, she has 102.9%, which means she's 2.9% above average for her height, age, and gender. And her right arm is 107.4%. So she's got a little bit of an imbalance. It's not awful, but it's something she needs to work on. She said she's going to talk to either a trainer or one of us as a PT to give her suggestions on movement exercise.
That's great stuff. I geek out on this. On the metrics, because what happens? We get on a scale, right? And it, like me, I'm under construction, right? I'm going to the gym, I'm running, and I'm not getting that great result by that number on the scale, but I know I'm putting on lean muscle mass.
Right, right.
So
That's a big education piece that we have that we're doing with everyone here that's testing, is not to focus on the weight. And when you step on that scale at home, most scales just do weight. It's one number, it's a solid metric, and it doesn't calculate what comprises in that weight. So scale to muscle mass, if you gain a pound of muscle and you lose a pound of fat, your delta zero, but the scale at the home says exactly the same. So, you know, if you come, you're going to test on this again and you say, well, the scale at home is the exact same, but now you've gained 2 pounds of muscle, you've lost 1 pound of fat, you know, so it'll be interesting to see your change.
Yeah, and I rely on people to tell me when I'm getting fat. Like my nephew will tell me at Christmas, he'll be like, Uncle John, when's the due date? He'll say stuff like that, and then I'll go, oh, am I fat? And then I get on the scale and I go, why didn't anybody tell me? The kids aren't. I think this is a great opportunity to check in and go, hey, where am I? But you're right. Like, I've seen the number on the scale go down, but it's not going down at the rate that I would like. But I'm also going, you know, I'm getting stronger. I've been doing a lot of weight training, and I feel better.
Right.
So I'm really excited to get this result. So if you're in the downtown Portland area, I want you to stop by and swing into the live studio. Our promotions team is set up right outside the doors. You can't miss the tent, the 102.9, 750 The Game tent that's set up. And come on in. And how long does this take, Jason?
The test itself is super quick, under 5 minutes. I mean, you're on, you're off, and then the metrics are printed out. We go over the results with you individually. Kelly's describing it to everyone. I'm describing it to everyone. Nikki, our regional office manager, is here helping us facilitate flow. There's lots of information, so it's pretty quick. I'd say under 30 minutes from beginning to end. But the test itself, the physical test, is under 5.
All right. Very cool. I really appreciate you guys stopping by here. Hey, let me ask you a sports question. Steve Kerr last night, Warriors are blowing out the Suns. They're going to beat them by 50 points. Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, uses this as a teachable moment, hands the keys to the Lamborghini to the kids. He lets Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green coach the team during a timeout. The Suns were chapped by this. It was that poor form to let a player coach the team? Are you showing up the opposition there, or is he just trying to get something out of a wasted evening and wasted second half?
Well, you know, I'm a big basketball fan, and the Warriors are very impressive. And, you know, it's tough. I respect Steve Kerr as a player and now as a coach. And, you know, if I was put in that situation, would I have done the same thing? Probably not. But hard to say whether it was the right choice or not.
I think, look, I spent a season covering Bobby Knight's Indiana teams, and what I was impressed with him was he always got – there were moments where were throwaway moments in a game, like, you know, he's beating Indiana State by 15, there's 45 seconds left. He would put a freshman who hadn't played all year into the game, and he'd put him into a pressure situation. For example, they got a chance to shoot a technical foul that season in a game that was already a blowout. They were going to win. The crowd was really riled up. The opposing coach got a technical. So one of the Indiana players is going to get to shoot the technical. He reached down to the end of the bench and picked a 6'10" freshman who was a bad free throw shooter. and said, you shoot the technical foul. And everybody went, why would he have him do that? And after the game, he said, look, I want that kid to be in a situation.
Right.
I got something out of that.
Yeah, I don't know what they got out of that player coaching moment.
I don't know. Maybe the players get a chance to know what it's like to be in his shoes. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I'm going to put it up for the listeners. You tell me, was it poor form, or was that a brilliant coach, with a brilliant move? 503-417-7575.
Their team. I think that's one of the first things you have to consider as a coach. It's the players' team. It's their team, and they have to take ownership of it. And as coaches, our job is to nudge them in the right direction, guide them. But we don't control them. They determine their own fate. And I don't feel like we focused well at all the last month. And it just seemed like the right thing to do.
Why should fans watch a game if the coach doesn't care to coach a game? That's what some are saying. That if Steve Kerr thought that, hey, this game was such a throwaway, that there wasn't anything there, it's the same kind of stunt that the NBA was criticized for when star players were rested. Or is he brilliant for letting his players coach a team? You tell me, was this a mistake? Or was it Steve Kerr doing something brilliant that maybe some of us don't understand? 503-417-7575. He beat the Suns last night by 46. He let his players coach the team in the huddle, and he's catching some heat for that. I'll take your phone calls. Also, I've got something. Tomorrow night is Valentine's Day. Gliss, are you set up? Is Alabama Adriana back up on the sixth floor?
She is. She's right here, yes.
All right, we're going to do something special for tomorrow night, Valentine's Day. In addition to everything that we've talked about with Valentine's Day, I am in possession, or the BFT Foundation is in possession, of two 100-level tickets to tomorrow night's Blazers-Warriors basketball game. This is in the 100 level. It is in Row P, which is just a stone's throw from the court. If I threw these on StubHub, these tickets would sell like hotcakes. This is a charity thing. We're going to auction them off between now and 3 o'clock to make things more difficult for Gliss and Alabama Adriana back in the studio. I'm six floors below them down in the live studio broadcasting as Therapedia does the in-body body composition testing. I want to auction these tickets off. You want to take your Valentine. Let's say you don't have plans. You want to take your Valentine to the Warriors-Blazer game tomorrow night. Act like you had this great plan in place all the time, guys. I've got your solution here. All you'll need is a credit card. We can take your payment, and we can email you the tickets. This is 100 level, Row P, and we will auction these tickets off. I want to start the bidding. Let's start. What should we start the bidding at, Gliss? What's a good number to start the bidding? A fair start for this auction for people to call in.
You said they're down close to the court?
They're in Row P.
Wow.
100 level.
I would say those things need to go for at least like $150 a ticket.
All right, so let's start the bidding at $300 for the pair of tickets. If you are outbid, we will call you back. Can we do that, Alabama Adriana? If someone gets outbid, you just call them back and say you want to up the ante,
yeah,
so they don't get left, so you don't have to listen wall to wall. The phone number is 503-417-7575 if you want to place a bid. If you get multiple people on the phone, we can just put you on hold and bounce back and forth. We will auction those off at 3 o'clock. The bidding will close, and the high bidder will be in possession of two tickets to see the Blazers-Warriors game tomorrow night on Valentine's Day. So you can take your sweetheart to the game, or guys or ladies, you can just take your best friend to the game. You decide. Let's go out to the phone lines where people want to talk about Steve Kerr. I don't know if Kerr's going to be coaching tomorrow night. He might have Draymond Green or Andre Iguodala coaching. But John's in Wilsonville. John, was it poor form?
Yeah. No, I actually applaud it because for many reasons, but one of them being there isn't a lot that this team hasn't accomplished. So a stagnant locker room is sometimes you just got to figure out a way to shake it up. I don't think it was a punch to the face of a competitor. And I don't know, even if I was upset about it as a player, you know, back when you and I played, you know, you were taught to have, like, your skin had to be as dense as a dying sun. And, you know, if you didn't like it, you go beat them. And that's where you left it. And you just don't see that anymore. Everybody wants to just complain nowadays and just not do anything about it, which is kind of frustrating.
John in Wilsonville says nothing wrong with it. In fact, he applauds it. Do you applaud Steve Kerr's move to let his players coach the team? 503-417-7575. And Gliss and Adriana, I'll leave it to you to update me on the bids as they come in. If you want to bid on those lower-level Blazers-Warriors tickets, Section 110 is the section, I believe. Row P. I'm looking on StubHub. Those tickets sell for between $200 or $300 each. So our current bid is $300. If you'd like to up that to $350, you can call it 503-417-7575. Let's go to Brian in Lincoln City, who is called in about Steve Kerr. Brian, what's up?
Steve Kerr did nothing wrong. I think it was pretty smart. If you don't want to get beat by 50 points, work harder. The Warriors, they have great players, but all those guys have worked their butts off.
Let me throw it this way. Why should fans care if the coach doesn't care to show up? Why? I mean, because I get the idea of working harder, and I agree with you on that, but the Phoenix Suns are just overmatched. Is there anything they could possibly do to outwork the Warriors, and would the outcome have been any different?
Maybe, maybe not. I've been on both ends of this. I've been on teams that are really bad, and I've been on one team that was really good. And we were really good because we outworked everybody. There's my take.
Yeah, I think, you know, Draymond Green strolling around with the clipboard. You know, David West, Andre Iguodala auditioning to be head coach. Let's go to Foster in Portland. Foster, where do you stand on this?
Hey, Gonzano. I disagree. He is the coach. He's paid to coach. Is he going to take his nicely paycheck and donate that to somebody because he shouldn't get paid for that night he did not coach? If he's tired, he doesn't like it, hit the road, pal. Bad move.
Yeah, my theory on it is, or my the way I stand on it is, I don't like it. I don't like that Kerr handed the whole thing to his team. Like, I could see in a situation him leaning down with Draymond Green and saying, Draymond, what do you think we should do here? And still maintaining the role of coach. But I didn't like that he handed over the reins and made the game feel like, look, it's a joke. It's not important. Why should I? I don't care about it. It's a foregone conclusion that we're going to win. I think that's a dangerous place for the NBA to live. And I think they've learned from last season when they caught so much heat for players who sat out big games, right? The coaches were all looking at rest, trying to get their guys rest. They sat out players. We had fans looking going, hey, why did I pay $300 for a lower level ticket if I'm not getting the A-level performance from a team? It wasn't the same as that against the Suns, but I have to think that people who were watching that game thought, well, you know, if the coach doesn't care, if the coach says this is a foregone conclusion, why am I paying full price for this ticket? Why am I, you know, for the NBA, I think it was a poor message, the overall message to fans. Now, I do think there's value in it for Steve Kerr's team, but I don't think that the league is going to smile upon a head coach saying, look, we're so much better than the competition that I don't need to coach this game. And in fact, I'm going to use it as a teachable moment. I'm going to step aside. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. How would you feel about it if it was elementary school? And it was, hey, this lesson is so not important that we're going to let the students teach it to the other students. As a parent, would you look and say, hey, what are we paying for here? I'm paying taxes here so a kid can teach the class. I thought I was getting a credentialed teacher in charge of the class. Is it the same thing? And to the caller's point who said they just need to try harder, I get that. But I also am putting myself in the shoes of the Phoenix Suns across the way. I don't know if it was a matter of them not trying hard. They're overmatched. Their best player was hurt, and they're overmatched to start with. Rick Barry's coming up top of the hour. I'm going to ask Rick Barry about it. If you want to bid on the Blazers-Warriors tickets, lower level, Section 110, Row P. We've got a pair of tickets. Current bid, $300. If you want to go on Valentine's Day night and see the Blazers and Warriors, we're auctioning that off. It would be a nice evening. And for those of you who don't yet have plans, it is a way out, right? If you didn't make dinner plans, you didn't make a reservation, you won't be empty-handed. And the BFT Foundation's the real winner. The kids of the Bald Faced Truth Foundation win because you're helping kids in art, music, education, and athletics. And that is ultimately why we do it. We want to help bring smiles and bring joy to kids in the community and to the listeners in Eugene, the listeners in Klamath Falls who are getting to know the BFT Foundation. You will get to know the summer camp that we run. You will get to know the golf tournament, the celebrity golf tournament that we put on. But the day in and day out mission of the Bald Faced Truth Foundation is to help kids in schools, to help kids in activities, those valuable co-curricular activities that have been absolutely decimated over the years by budget cuts. We're trying to step in and make a difference there. Ty in Portland. Ty, quickly, where do you stand on this?
Hey, John, I love listening to your show. Hey, I just think that this team is so good. I think it was a motivational thing. I mean, I think these guys blow out their opponents so much that they need some inspiration. I think that's all it was just inspirational type trying to get his team going because of the losses that they had in the 3 out of 4 losses that they had, and this new motivational tool.
Yeah, I do, and I agree with you. I do see the value in that for the Warriors, but I'm just wondering if the bigger message across the league is, look, we got a game that was so out of balance that one of the coaches decided he didn't need to coach. Is that a good message to send to your fan base? We'll talk about that with Rick Barry, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer. He's coming up. He will be next on the show, and later we'll talk to Baxter Holmes. You're listening to the BFT on the Bald Faced Truth Radio Network.
Something is about to happen.
BFT.
Now listen up, everyone.
Let's go. The Bald Faced Truth.
John Canzano.
I gotta say, I love him most of the time. I think he's right on.
He's okay.
John's great.
He's a little unusual.
Live every afternoon, 12 to 3 p.m.
I hate that guy because he just never knows what he's talking about.
I think he does a damn good job.
That's my dude, man. Yeah, I know him, man. I let my mother listen to him.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth. Brought to you by High Caliber Millwrights. In need of getting your plant or machinery job done right the first time and on time? Then call High Caliber today.
All right, Steve Kerr last night in an NBA game handed the clipboard to his players. Warriors that much better than the Phoenix Suns. He saw it as a coachable moment. Let me get something out of this. Let me shake up my team. The Phoenix Suns, some of them didn't like it. They lose by 46, and they look over and see Andre Iguodala coaching the team and others. Felt shown up by it. I want to ask Rick Barry what he thought of that. We're talking to a legend, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer, and a frequent guest to our show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Hell, the Phoenix Suns, they should be embarrassed, let alone, what do you mean, mad? What do you mean, they're mad at themselves. They suck. They are terrible. I mean, that's ridiculous. They're going to say that had an impact on them? I mean, so what? Who cares? Bottom line is they played terribly. The Warriors played terrifically. And Steve Kerr wanted to do something. He had a great reason behind why he was trying to do that, to get the team to sort of come together, because he felt he was not communicating with them as well as he needed to be, and it seemed to work exceptionally well. So we'll see. I don't know if he's going to do that when they play you guys, but I don't know if he'll do that again. But so what? I mean, be mad at them that they were embarrassed by? They were embarrassed because they played terribly. That's why they should be embarrassed.
They're so overmatched. And people kept saying, look, play harder, play better. And I'm wondering if they play harder and play better, how much closer do they get? Have you ever been in a team that was bad? I mean, you were on some great Warriors teams.
Well, I was never on any really bad team. But the thing is, it's playing harder. It's better. It's playing smarter, intelligently. That's what it's about. The game is not all about the natural skill and ability. A guy with a great knowledge of the game who knows how to utilize the limited skills he may have, a lot of times can do better than the guy who has no clue what he's doing out there on the court. Play together. Play team. Help defense. Communicate with one another. Take some pride in what you're doing.
NBA champion 1975, finals MVP that year, 8-time All-Star in the NBA. an ABA All-Star four times. You've been successful. We had Dan Dicko on the show yesterday, and I asked Dan, he's 6 foot. He limited athletically, but he stuck around the NBA for a little bit because of what you just said. He played smarter and worked hard. When you were playing, could you look across the league and say, hey, you know, if that talented, gifted athlete only had work ethic and discipline, you know, he could be so much more? I mean, is that a great mystery that we'll never solve?
Well, it's not a mystery. It's a reality. I mean, it's pretty easy to see guys who are out there that they'll never reach their full potential because they don't have an understanding of the game. It's one of the reasons why I'm trying to do something that would hopefully be my legacy of the game, working at the Rick Barry Basketball School, working in connection with a gentleman by the name of Jim Oleos, who's an award-winning man who put together a program emphasizing schoolwork and learning how to be a good person, character development, things of that nature, along with the fundamentals of basketball for boys and girls together 5 to 9. And that's a segment of our young people who really are kind of overlooked. And they're out there and parents are doing something, whatever. Meanwhile, they're developing horrible habits. The most important time you can get a kid is when he first starts to get the fundamentals down. That's the foundation that you can lay down. You must have a fundamental understanding of how to play the game the correct way. And so if we can implement this program and those players who and young men and women who have some ability will have a chance then to fully maximize their potential if they are gifted and if they put the time and the effort forth and they have other good coaches as they move up the ladder. But you have to have that foundation. And those who aren't great athletes, we still feel that the program is great for them. It's going to give them an opportunity to participate, but also with the emphasis on studies, with the emphasis on character development, with the emphasis on what it takes to be a good person. Those are things that will help them in life. So I'm working very hard at this with Jim and another people to try to put this together because I think it can change the face of basketball in this country and produce better players who will play the game the way it was meant to be played.
When the game is played the way it was meant to be played, how much more beautiful is that when you're watching a game like that? And how often do you get that
in the
NBA?
Well, you watch the Warriors.
Yeah.
Watch the Warriors. When the Warriors are playing their brand of basketball, that's the way the game was meant to be played. Unselfish. Move the ball, cut, do all of the intelligent things. And, you know, one thing I hear when the announcer say, oh, that was a great play, you made the extra pass. You know what? The extra pass sucks if you're throwing it to somebody who doesn't shoot as well as you do if you were open, okay? I mean, seriously, that's one of the most ridiculous comments I've ever heard. It's only a good pass if you're throwing to a guy who shoots the ball better than you shoot it. And the only thing that the rule that I had when I was coaching and the one I played, if I had a teammate under the basket open, he always would get the ball. If the guy's at point-blank range, he's got to get the basketball. Simple. Simple fact.
Rick Barry with us, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer. You mentioned the Warriors. If that's the way it should be played and it's just as simple as that, why is it so hard to get the rest of the league on board with that?
Well, I don't know. That's a very good question. That's what I've always been puzzled by. You know, why in the world do other teams, and this is the copycat league because they tend to copycat everything when somebody does something, you know, they go with a little small guard, they go with this, they go with that. Why would you not want to copy what the Spurs have been doing, what the Celtics of the past, the Lakers of the past, the Warriors now are doing? Why would you not want to copy that? I just don't understand it. The biggest problem, though, is they make terrible draft choice picks and terrible trades and they terrible, free agency situations. Because that's the three key elements for success in any team sport. Who do you draft? Who do you get in free agency? And who do you trade for? Because it's all about the players. Then you hope you have a coach who doesn't screw it up. But you have to pick the right people who know how to play the game the right way, who will play it unselfishly. That's the key to success. The Warriors have done a remarkable job of doing that and have picked up, obviously, some incredible talent to go along with it.
People say, oh, they got lucky in the draft. Oh, they had it. It's not luck, is it?
No. It's not luck in the draft. The problem is that just go down and just look at some of the draft picks that some of the teams have made over the years, and you can see why they've never been any good. And then the trades that they make, and it just doesn't make any sense sometimes. I don't know what they're looking for. I know I get a lot of scouts about it when I say this, but I don't care. I think some of those guys wouldn't know talent until I walked up and bit them in the butt. I mean, you got to look for certain things. I can watch a kid play for 5 minutes and tell you whether I want to spend another minute at all trying to find out whether or not he's a guy I'd want on my basketball team. It all comes down to watching the guy to find out the most critical element. Does the player have a natural feel for the game? Key element. If he does not have that, he's never going to be a great, great player. You have to have that. He can have some flaws. I don't care if he's not a great shooter. LeBron wasn't a great shooter. He got better. I made a big stink about it years ago, and everybody got mad at me. I said, hey, what's the deal? He's He's in the league 3 years, and he has all these flaws in his shot. What are they teaching this guy? I mean, he's an amazing player, and he changed the shot. If you watch his shot when he first came in the league and looked at it 4 years later or so, it's a totally different shot. It's still not where it needs to be. But you can correct things like that, but you can't teach someone. Like I always tell you, I can teach you how to pass. I can't teach you how to see.
You mentioned seeing a kid play for 5 minutes and knowing, hey, do I want to spend more? What are you looking for there? Is it his level of interest? Is he open to coaching? Or is there some kind of tangible athleticism you're seeing?
No, the one thing I look for first, does he have a great feel for the game, a natural feel for the game? And if he has that feel, now I start looking at other things. Now you look and you see, you know, how hard is he playing out there? How intelligently is he playing out there? How does he respond to various things? You start looking at a whole bunch of other things, and then they do all these testing and stuff for him to find out the character. And if you had something to find out what's in their heart, it would be great, and in their mind. But the most critical element is if he doesn't have that natural feel for the game, he's not somebody that I want to waste a first-round draft pick on because he's never going to be as good as he should be. Now, there's a lot of guys in the NBA who are there on sheer athleticism because they're so incredibly gifted that they've made it to that to the highest level possible, but they'll never be as good as they should be. And that's disappointing to me because I love greatness. I don't know about you. I love greatness in everything. Love to watch people who are great at whatever they do. It's a rewarding experience for me to see that. I admire it and respect it so much. But it also breaks my heart when I see it. I had a player when I coached in the minor leagues. I tell you right now, if Clifford Ray and I said with one another, oh, my God, can you imagine what he would be like if we had him when he was younger? He was Michael Jordan-esque. He was actually bigger and stronger than Michael, but about the same height. The most wonderful young man you could ever want to meet. Incredible work ethic and attitude. Nobody taught him what to do with amazing abilities and skills that he was gifted with, and he never had a chance to make it in the NBA.
How young do you need a kid to get that? What's too late?
Well, I don't know about too late. It's harder the later they are because you have to break habits. The easiest thing in the world to do is develop a bad habit. The hardest thing in the world to do is to break the habit. That's why I'm trying to do the Rick Barry Basketball School and to get this program implemented so that we can teach these kids starting from 5 to 9, the fun that boys and girls together, because they can play at that age together, to teach them the fundamentals. That's the critical stage. Then if they have talent and gifts given to them by God and they're willing to work at it and put the effort for it, it's really not work if you love it. Again, I just saw an incredible video today about a young 13-year-old Indian boy from over in India who had this horrible disease. And his biggest thing that he said, and I loved it when he said he gave 4 reasons why you have to go on. He's had 135 some odd broken bones in his body because his bones don't heal well. But anyway, he was a remarkable young man. Number one thing, this is what I always tell kids, find a passion. You have to have a passion for what you want to do in life, and then you apply yourself to it. That's what you got to find. Somebody who has that passion, who has that natural feel, who is going to play the game unselfishly. That's fun to coach. It's fun to have as a teammate. It's fun to watch.
Rick Barry with us, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer. You see LeBron this year, who Cleveland just reshuffled the deck, trying to give him better pieces around him. Does that concern you, a team doing that, or does it make sense to you that just Cleveland had a bad mix, they needed to shake it up?
Well, I mean, if things aren't working, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It was broken. They were trying to fix it. No problem for what they did. They were trying to get some people in there, and they had a big game when that kicked Boston's butt. So who knows? I mean, they also made themselves much younger instead of having some older players. Of course, the one thing there is, how much experience do they have when it comes to playoff time? That's a critical element as well. It's a fine line to walk there as to, do you want the experience? Do you want the youth? I mean, it's nice they have a combination of both. So I think what they did was a smart move on their part.
Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, we talk about your teammates, Nate Thurmond. We had him on the show several times years ago. Was the basketball better when you were playing?
I think that what these guys do today is remarkable. I'm in awe at some of the things that they do. But I think that we knew how to play the game a little bit better as far as the overall league was concerned. There's a lot of guys out there who really don't have a real clue how to play the game as well as it should be played. And it was a lot of fun to play. That's why I admire watching the teams. I love watching the Warriors, the Spurs, the teams that play the game that way. It seems as though more teams, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you'll agree with me, more and more teams are starting to understand and realize that you got to play unselfishly. A lot of teams I see now are making 4, 5, 6, 7 passes when they're running their stuff, which is good basketball. That's smart, intelligent basketball. Just don't jack up the first shot when you come down the court. Don't just go one-on-one and do it all by yourself with everybody standing around and watching. You can always do that with 5 seconds left to get a shot off. Get it up to four quickly. Try to take advantage of the great athleticism that these players have and work with them to try to make intelligent decisions in the transition and then flow into something that gives you moving and cutting and passing. And that's what the Warriors do when they're at their best. And when they're doing that, they're almost impossible to beat.
The Blazers are in a tough spot for the very reason that you mentioned earlier. They made bad decisions in free agency in two summers ago, and they're just hamstrung by those contracts. And I think they panicked, thought they weren't going to have quality players, and just grabbed warm bodies and gave away a bunch of money doing it. They're stuck with three bad contracts, can't do anything about it. It gives a helpless feeling to this market.
Well, yeah, but the thing is they're still competitive. I mean, they're right in there fighting for the third spot in the Western Conference of the playoffs, which is pretty remarkable. It's going to be a heck of a battle. I mean, I think there's like something like 7-8 teams or something that were within, 2-3 games of one another fighting for that third spot, with the Spurs included in that, other than the Rockets and the Warriors. Everybody else is right there in a heated contest to see who's going to make it. So they still have a chance to do something. They just have to make the focus on defense and play unselfishly, and they can go out there and certainly be competitive. Are they good enough to win the championship? Certainly, I don't think that's the case. But they can certainly be competitive and try to improve, get to be better, and then make some good moves, get a good draft pick, and make some good moves in the offseason, pick up somebody. And if they have to, sometimes maybe you got to eat a contract or get rid of somebody and give them away, pay part of the contract if he's not working out for your team. You just have to be willing to admit that you made a mistake and try to do whatever you can to correct that mistake.
What are you doing with Biogenesis? You getting younger?
Yeah, here's the thing. I try to stay well, and thank God I've been healthy. I was taking a prescription drug for my knee with the surgeries I had, and I was introduced to Biogenesis, and I started taking it. And once I started taking it, I stopped taking my prescription drug, and I haven't taken another pill since, which is just great. And so many other people are getting so many amazing results. So all I recommend is go to this website, gogyv.com/rbarry, gogyv.com/rbarry. Watch the video, listen to the testimonials by the people there, and give it a try. It's a money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose but perhaps pain and, lack of energy and things of that nature. I mean, it's amazing the results that this is getting for people, and it's all natural. And as I say, it's guaranteed. gogyv.com/rbarry.
I think somebody should give you a chance to coach. I it's always chapped me. I think you have so much to offer, and people will say, oh, today's player wouldn't play for Rick Barry. I think today's player wouldn't be good would play for Rick Barry.
Well, here's the thing, is that you have to earn the respect of the players. I think I would relate to the players only because of the fact that I would be honest with the players. I'm not going to try to sell them a bill of goods. I'm going to tell them, and I would have a staff filled like people like Clifford Ray. I think the best big man's coach the NBA has had in the last two decades. Just an amazing guy. And other guys who know how to play the game the right way. And I think we would earn their respect, and we would teach them how to play the game and enjoy the game. And I would say that people, that they would react to me. But it's past. They're not going to use me. Anyway, I got to run. I got to take another call. All the best to you and your listeners.
All right, Rick Barry, there he is, Hall of Famer. Says it's past. Tell you what hasn't passed, Valentine's Day. 7:30 tip-off tomorrow night, Moda Center, Blazers, Warriors. Current bid is $400. We've got a pair of tickets. Section 117, row P. They're aisle seats. We've got a pair of tickets. You want to go on a date to the Blazers game? I'm looking at that now. I undervalued those tickets. So if you want to place a bid, $400 is the current bid. You can do that at 503-417-7575. Coming up will be Punch It Audio. Then we're going to talk to Baxter Holmes, the NBA writer for ESPN, who has a story on wine. We all know Greg Popovich owns part of a winery out here in the Dundee area, out here in Oregon. So the Spurs coach comes out. He participates in the harvest. He's participates in the wine. He shows up. He's very, very secretive about it. And one time I tracked him around wine country and wrote about it. So I'm eager to talk to Baxter Holmes about the wine connoisseurs who are in the NBA. But if you want to go to the Blazer game and help the kids of the BFT Foundation, we've got a pair of tickets to that Blazers-Warriors game on Valentine's. That's tomorrow night, 7:30 tip-off, that we're auctioning off to the high bidder. Current bid, $400. If you want to beat that, 503-417-7575. It would be a great opportunity for you to go to a game and act like you had a plan all along. So I'm bailing you out, and you get a chance to see. Maybe Steve Kerr will even coach the game, if that's part of it. All right, coming up, Punch It Audio. That's the best sound from all around. Plus Baxter Holmes, and then we'll talk a little bit about the snowboarders. Is it the coolest thing ever? And did you, last night watching the Olympics, say to yourself at any point or think at any point, yeah, I should go out and snowboard. I should do that. I did it. I know you did it on some level. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I thought it's the coolest thing ever that we are leading the world and leading the way when it comes to the creativity and passion that it comes with the snowboard. And I know that some people will say, look, that's an X game thing. That's not a traditional Olympic event. I just thought Chloe Kim, and of course, Shaun White, performing at a high level was one of the most inspiring, fun, cool things that I've seen in the Olympics in some time. We'll talk about all that coming up. Very excited about the results I'm getting here in the live studio on today's show. For those of you just tuning in, TherapediaPortland.com, that's the website you hear me talking about all the time, and the great physical therapists with the cutting-edge technology, and it's where I went to rehab after three knee surgeries and, frankly, some stops at some physical therapist clinics that I wasn't happy with. They have done a cool thing today. They are set up currently in the live studio in downtown Portland for you to stop by. You can do the complimentary in-body body composition testing. A lot of people have come through the doors in the 12 o'clock hour. We're into the 1 o'clock hour. If you're on foot, if you're nearby, you can just pull in. There's parking out front. Our promotions team is set up right outside the live studio. We're on the ground floor of the PacWest Center. It's a quick in and out. I just did the composition testing on the commercial break in 4 minutes and got my results. I'm comparing it to several months ago, and I know it's better. And I know that I've improved, but Jason, one of the physical therapists who's here, nearly fell over when he saw the results and how in shape I am. Alabama, Adriana, Gliss, Droz, got to tell you, it's not just talk, okay? Under construction down here. And so if you want to stop by, the Therapedia physical therapist will be here until 3 o'clock while I'm on air. So stop by, give me a fist bump. They're down to 2 o'clock. If you're straggling in late in the 2 o'clock hour, I'm sure that they're not going to turn you away. But they'll be here until 2 o'clock. So you got a half an hour to get down here. And I think about 25 or 30 people have stopped by off the street. So if you're in the neighborhood, stop by and get that body composition testing. Gliss, you got to get down here.
I'll get down there for sure.
You need
point.
To come down right now. This would be a good time to stop by. Alabama Adriana did it. I did it. Droz and Gliss, you should come down while we're doing Punch It Audio, which is what we're going to play here in a few minutes. Should we play this now, or should I push Punch It back in the show? Given that, you know, I'm now down to 4 minutes left in the segment.
Yeah, you can push it back a little bit. That's fine.
Why don't I push it back? Because we have Baxter Holmes coming up, and I don't want to start Punch It Audio and then run out of time. But here's what I will do. Let's talk only about the snowboarders. And, Droz, if I can have you cue it up, Chloe Kim took gold in the women's half pipe. She said that she almost forgot it was the Olympics. Listen to her here.
It's kind of funny because I almost forgot I was at the Olympics. It kind of felt like any other contest, and I was talking to Arielle about it, too, and she kind of was on the same boat. But, you know, during practice, I'd look over at the half pipe and just see the Olympic rings on the banners, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, okay, wait, we are at the Olympics.
She's 17 years old, and she is the epitome of the American dream, right? You talk about her family immigrating from Korea to the United States. Her parents don't snowboard. They don't even ski. She is this great kid and has become the early face of the Olympics. And I saw the New York Times. The New York Times wrote a story saying she is now the new Shaun White. And I bristled at that. Being a dad of three daughters, I bristled at it. Like, why does she have to be the new Shaun White? Can't she just be the first Chloe Kim? It's remarkable. This is what the Olympics needs. It needs faces. It needs young people. It needs young viewers. The Olympics got stale and got old and got, you know, crotchety. And here we have snowboarding, which right out of the gates in the Winter Games has captured the living room, and remarkable what she did. I can't believe how much better she was than every other female competitor in the field. She won this thing on her first run down the hill. She made it look easy, you know, and she says she doesn't know the meaning of a gold medal. Listen to this.
Said, congrats on your Olympic gold medal, and I'm still very confused. I don't even know what that means, you know. I'm so confused.
She's 17. I forgive her on that front. I do think the medal ceremony loses something. That's something the Olympics should look at. So they make the athletes go to a different venue to collect their medals. They should award that medal immediately following the end of competition. I just think for the spectators who were there and were assembled, it would not lose the emotion, as I felt like it lost the emotion last night. On the men's side, let's talk about Shaun White. He just had a qualifying run, but it was interesting to me because I kind of joined it in progress, and I saw what, like, you know, the 28th best snowboarder in the world looks like, and then the 29th, and then I got a chance to go back and look at Shaun White's run that earned him the best qualifying score, and it blew me away. Again, we're in the United States. We expect that we're great, right? We say that we're great at all things. We like to puff our chest out and say that we're better than anybody in the world. Guess what? Snowboarding, we are better than anybody in the world, and it isn't even close. Here's Shaun White.
Honestly, this is where I like to see Shaun backed into a little bit of a corner. He's qualifying, but this is an ego contest right now. Huge frontside 1080. Oh, my Lord. How perfect can you possibly land? Here comes a giant backside Della McTwist 1260. That was cute. Coming in here to the bottom, will he do a front? There it is, frontside 1260. So Shaun answering back to Scotty James with his own back-to-back 1260s.
Whatever you can do, I can do better.
Shaun White proving to the world that he is the best. I like that. Oh my, you know, as he's doing that run. Leave it right here. We're going to talk wine in the NBA. What is Baxter Holmes talking about? We'll talk to ESPN's writer about what he says is the secret wine club in the NBA. All right, there's still time for you to stop by the live studio. We're in the ground floor of the PacWest Center where Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran usually hang out. We are hanging out there now. And you can get your in-body body composition test on right now, between now and 2 o'clock. Therapedia's team is here. They are set up. And if you're a business owner and you've been listening to today's show, or maybe you're an office manager and you're going, I've been looking for something that is team building, that's unifying, that is healthy, that helps employees get their heads in the right direction, having the team at Therapedia come into your office and set up this test would be a phenomenal thing. It would be an absolute gift that you could give to your employees to help them be more health conscious and learn about their bodies. You can go to therapediaportland.com to make a same or next day appointment or to inquire about the in-body body composition testing. Our next guest, Baxter Holmes, next to near zero body fat on this guy, and he does a great job covering the NBA. Baxter, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk about wine, and I am fascinated by this wine story, the secret wine club in the NBA. What do you know about wine? How'd you stumble onto the story?
I don't know a lot about wine, to be honest with you, other than it tastes great. Oregon makes some of the best there is. I know that much. But I kept noticing players posting pictures on social media or talking about it, posting videos of their trips to Napa. And it seemed like it was something that was more than just, you know, a side passion or whatever the case may be. It legitimately seemed like they were really investing a lot of time and resources. You know, in Dwayne Wade's case, he started a label, a wine label in Napa. So I became really interested from there. And then it was talking to people in the wine industry, whether collectors or somms or people at restaurants, whatever the case may be, winemakers. And everybody said some version of the same thing, which was that players are asking very detailed questions that they don't usually get, even from people who are well-to-do or celebrities, but that the attention to detail that the players were paying and in order to learn as much as they could about wine was really very impressive. And then it just kind of took off from there.
More fun to talk about the players about wine or basketball. I mean, I always find it when you're talking to them about something that they're surprised by, or maybe it's not the normal basketball question, they get really engaged.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it makes me think of the case of Carmelo Anthony. You know, when I sat down to talk about wine, it seemed like he was just waiting. He'd been waiting for a while to talk about wine. He was so engaged. He talked about getting into it in 07 when he was in Denver. And then by the time he got to New York with the Knicks, befriending a lot of high-end collectors and people in the wine community, going to these fancy wine dinners that these people would put on, where the mandate was kind of bring your most excellent bottle, and the pressure he felt to live up to that. And then he became obsessive about wine documentaries and trying to learn, pick up all the tasting notes just through like a blind tasting. So yeah, it was impressive in talking to a lot of these guys about the, you know, how much they committed to it. And yeah, they were very engaging, as you might imagine.
We're talking to Baxter Holmes, ESPN. The story, I will tweet out a link to it, about the NBA's wine club. J.R. Smith comes up in the story. And there's a guy where, I'm sorry, but I can't imagine J.R. Smith in a tasting room with the neck tattoo, tasting wine and talking about it. But that's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah. And he was a part of the Cavs trip to Napa in late December when they had a game between playing Sacramento and playing Salt Lake. So they just stopped by Napa, as one does. And he was with his friends with the team and at a winery, and it was kind of funny that they were all having this Chardonnay that was made by the winery, and the guy who made it or helped make it was telling everybody, like, you know, he was really proud that this was not like a buttery Chardonnay, as I suppose most of them are, or many of them are. And so they went around the room and asked people what they thought, and JR, sitting in the back on a couch, raises his hand, and he said, all right, what do you think of the wine? And JR raised his hand, just said, it's like butter. And the entire room broke out laughing and whatnot. And it was just, it was the epitome of who JR Smith is.
I talked to Greg Popovich about wine one time, and he, for people who don't know, he is a partner at Rex Hill Vineyards, A to Z Wine Works here in the Oregon area. And he brings his team when they're in town and the harvest is going on. The team will go out to the winery, or the coaching staff will go out. I get why coaches are into it, because he thinks there's some parallel between, you know, a good vintage and putting all the pieces together in front of the harvest that make good wine, and he waxes poetic about it. Do the players get that into it?
The players are quite committed, and something that a few winemakers said, and as you were talking about Pop and the way he looks at it, reminded me of it. But they seem to think or consider that there's a corollary between the players and particularly the vines, and that they look at, some of them had told me that they kind of think players maybe look at the vines in the same way that players might consider a gym, right? It's this solitary place that no one really sees, but it's where everything starts, right? It's where all the work starts. And that's for, you know, these vineyards, for these winemakers, that's where everything really starts. It's, you know, they're farmers first. And then there's this incredible amount of work that goes into it all along the way, all these maniacally crafted details. And then one day something is just produced, right? And then it's judged out in front of the world. And I had some people say that they think that maybe players kind of understand that connection as well, because so much of their work, you know, might be in the gym by themselves or just a lifetime of it. And then boom, there's the ball was tossed up, and then they're out there judged for kind of the world to see. So that there might be some kind of, you know, some people told me they think there might be some kind of appreciation on a deeper level that players have for wine because of that.
Baxter Holmes, ESPN, is with us. The story about the wine club in the NBA. Are we headed to an era where, like, Carmelo Anthony's favorite wine is on the back of his basketball card someday?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. And you know what it made me think of was how there's now more sponsors on jerseys. And given how much some of these players are really into wine, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, some of them, some of the winemakers maybe, you know, decide to partner up with the team. The Warriors actually have their own wine club. I don't know if the Blazers do, but I mean, they obviously should, considering where they're,
right,
where they're located. But but it is, you know, it's impressive. I'll go to an anecdote that J.J. Redick told me, just that when he was a rookie about, you know, a little more than a decade ago, he remembered looking around the team plane and guys might be drinking vodka or Hennessy or beer or whatever, but there wasn't any wine. And he said he noticed, he was paying attention on a recent flight, and it was almost all exclusively wine. And, you know, that's just a moment, but I think it's indicative of the kind of
generational change. This happened for whatever reason of late.
Baxter, before I cut you loose, one of the segments of your piece, which was great, was about this heart surgeon in Houston who gets these calls out of the blue. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Right. So this the heart surgeon's name is Devinder Bhatier, and aside from being a heart surgeon, he has a 7,500-bottle cellar at his home that is worth, well, the wine in it is worth several million dollars. And he's hosted a whole lot of dinners there from various politicians and athletes, musicians. And so when Team USA was preparing to go to the Olympics, the Rio Olympics, I think in 2016, he gets a call out of the blue a month before. And it's about arranging a dinner for, I think, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, and DeAndre Jordan ended up showing up. And then so they're walking through the cellar. And I actually talked to Carmelo later about it, and he was blown away by a particular bottle collection that this guy had. So, yeah, and then they're, you know, late at night, like 3 a.m., shooting hoops in the guy's driveway court with his 14-year-old son after having, like, a ton of incredible, incredible wine. And I actually visited the cellar when I was in Houston, and they're, you know, holding, like, a $15,000 bottle of wine. But on one hand, it's very cool, but it is also kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah. That's phenomenal. Baxter, I applaud you for going outside the box. Great stuff, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the time.
All right. There's Baxter Holmes, ESPN. I will tweet out a link to the story. Very cool stuff. Fascinating stuff. All right. If you're in the downtown area, downtown Portland, I am at the PacWest Center, corner of Southwest 5th and Jefferson. Very easy parking right in front with the live studio where Therapedia's physical therapists have set up the in-body body composition testing. I'm told about 50 people have come through the doors to get their body composition tested. We still have a few minutes left. They'll be here till 2 o'clock. If you're nearby, pop over. It takes about 4 minutes to complete the actual test. I did it on a commercial break. And again, if you are a office manager or if you are somebody who owns a small business and you want to do something healthy for your employees, it's a good idea to get Therapedia in your door and have them bring the in-body body composition testing equipment with them and provide that as a service for your employees to help them be healthier, feel better, have goals. In the end, right, it's I say things like your job doesn't love you. Well, your job should act more like it loves you sometimes. All right, leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. All right, here's what happens. We do a live broadcast. You know what happens? The world gets to come into the room and see this radio show in live action. And the team from Therapedia is at the live studio downtown Portland. They are doing in-body body composition testing. But Kelly Lindstrom, who's one of the physical therapists at Therapedia, who I've worked with for months, basically just said to me on the commercial break, so this is your day. This is what you do. Gliss is laughing because we were in contact early this morning planning this show, talking about it. We're talking about Friday's show. It would kind of like, Kelly, be you go to like a Blazer game and you see the players play a game and you go, this is your day, huh?
Yeah.
This is what you do.
Yeah.
This is it.
Jay and I were just saying we could do this all day.
Yeah, you could. You have in your hands my results from my body composition test in December.
Yes, I do.
And the result from my test today.
Yep.
And I'm kind of like, I've lost some weight. I've lost some fat.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners what you see between those two things.
So yeah. So, I mean, there was about 2 months between tests. And, yeah, John, you lost 8 pounds of fat. You gained a whole pound of muscle. And your percent body fat went down about 3%. So, yeah, all really good
stuff.
In 2 months.
Is that a record that you've never seen anything like this before? Or
I might have to phone a friend. Jay, is that a record?
What's the record, Jay, for the turnaround that you see on these tests? Like,
so the most recent one that I saw was a female who was probably in her mid-50s, and she had never worked out. She had never paid attention to nutrition. She was just starting a program, And in 3 months' time, she lost 60 pounds of fat.
Wow.
She lost 10% body fat.
Wow.
And she gained about 10 to 11 pounds of muscle. Yeah, but that's like very, very dramatic. But she did it safely and she did it, you know, I mean, going from doing nothing to something.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
For me, the key has been, like, I don't feel like I've done anything dramatic other than we're getting in the gym more regularly. And as I told you, Kelly, the other day when I was at the clinic,
yeah,
I'm able to run multiple days in a row, which is a big difference for me, which yeah, makes doing what I want to do so much easier.
Right.
So test one, you're seeing me, hey, you know, I haven't been running as much. Test two, 2 months later, I'm running four times a week for 25 minutes.
Right.
It's
right.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember when I told you, I thought you looked thin in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, I was fat before and nobody told me. That's what this is. All right. For people who are just tuning in body composition testing, what's the science behind it? Why is that important in the clinic?
So this is basically a physical therapist, you know, it's just magic. It allows us to look at asymmetries. It can help us dose exercises if you're weaker in the right leg versus the left, right arm versus the left. It's a big predictor for injury. So it's our glass ball, basically.
What I see for myself, tell me if you agree with this, is my gains tended to be upper body, even though I was running. So I still need to do some lower body weight work.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I can see that from here. Yep. Yeah, your arms. Yep. You have a higher percentage of weight in your arms than your legs. Yeah. Yeah. Don't skip leg day. That's what that means.
Don't skip leg day. All right. In the Therapedia mission, and we covered this in the Facebook Live that we did on Friday at the Beaverton Clinic. And again, Therapedia's got three locations now. You guys are opening up at a fourth location, Pearl?
Soon. Yes. Yes.
It's coming soon?
Soon.
So yep. People who are listening to this, yeah, there'll be a location near everybody. So everybody can get in with Therapedia. Why'd you get into this business? Why is this important to you?
Great question. So I kind of always knew I was an athlete growing up. I knew I wanted to work with athletes, work with people, not just athletes, but people that are motivated to get, you know, back into or continue an active lifestyle. I loved science. I loved the human body. I love working with people. It's just a very rewarding career to be able to work with people from the beginning and working towards their goals. And it's a fun thing. I joke about, you know, I could do what you're doing right here every day,
right,
but I love what I do every day. It's one-on-one. We see people often enough to where we learn about their families, their lives, their hobbies. I love everything about it.
I come into the clinic and I think I would want to do what you do because you're just working out all day. Like how much fun is that?
Yeah,
just to be working out,
yeah,
you're active.
Yeah. It's
talking.
Definitely not a desk job. Yeah, on my feet all day. Yep.
We've got Kelly Lindstrom from Therapedia. You can go to therapediaportland.com to see the clinic nearest you. I have recommended this for small business owners, for office managers who want to promote health and wellness on the staff. Is that a good thing, this InBody, for somebody to bring this into their business?
Completely, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's super quick. We can get a lot of people through in a really short amount of time. It gives you information that you're typically not getting from any other healthcare provider, and it's trackable. So that's the coolest thing, is you can come in even as often as once a month and see these numbers change, so you can actually get objective information. You know, are your nutrition goals working? Are your training goals working for you? Yeah,
I found you guys in part because the team at Reflex, which I did PRP and stem cell treatment with, there was good synergy between them and you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it wasn't a referral. It was more just a recommendation. They said, hey, you know, you should be working with Kelly. She'll challenge you more. It won't be that geriatric physical therapy that you're used to.
Yeah.
I say that you guys don't treat any two patients the same. Are they clients, mm-hmm, or patients? What are they called?
We call them patients. Yeah.
Patients?
Yeah, but you can say clients.
You don't treat your patients the same. What do you mean by that? Why is everybody different?
Because physical body is different. Everybody's goals are different, so their treatment should be different. You're not going to get the cookie cutter approach. I mean, you're going to sit down for a full hour on day one with us, and you know, there's some treatment that happens in that session, but we really just want to learn about you. You know, what do you want to get back to? What aren't you doing right now that your pain or your, you know, limitation is preventing you from doing? And it has to be individualized, because what works for you isn't going to work for me. and isn't going to work for Jay. So it's it has to be that way.
My producer, Gliss, is going to do the in-body. Did you do it already, Gliss?
Yeah.
Why don't you pop over here and share your results on air?
no pressure.
He said he doesn't know what they mean. Can you go through just a couple?
Sure.
Go through a couple of the numbers.
All
if
great.
You need to refer back to mine for comparison, you can. And, but go through a couple of the numbers. And just to explain people, not to embarrass them, but to explain people, what are you measuring here?
Right. So one thing that stands out to me, so this InBody gives us skeletal muscle mass, and we want that to be high, right? The higher, the better. And right now you're on the high end of normal. So you're kind of trending in the right direction.
Trending in the right direction.
Yep. Or we can't say trending, I guess, yet. We just have one, but come and get some follow-ups and hopefully it continues that way. We don't really tell people to look at BMI. That could tell you that you're obese, but it doesn't factor in muscle mass. So that's kind of an old school way. So we just cross that one out. The other great thing is it breaks down limb symmetry. So for you, we can look at your right arm versus left arm, right leg versus left leg. We want that to be within a half pound. And if I'm just doing some really quick math here, your legs are good. So, yep, you're within a half pound right leg versus left leg.
Yeah, he's surprised by that because he had an ACL injury.
Oh,
he had a repair that was required surgery.
What leg?
Right leg.
His right leg.
Right leg.
He did not do physical therapy after the surgery because he didn't have insurance at the time. He was still young.
Okay.
He was not covered.
Okay.
I mean, that to me just breaks my heart because I think about what you guys could have done with him.
Right.
He could have been somebody.
Hey, it's not too late. It's not too late. Better late than never.
Not too late.
So, and your arms are close. You're almost outside of that half-pound window, a little bit less on the left arm.
Yeah. So you could get to him now. Mm-hmm. This is important, I think, for listeners. Let's say they did physical therapy, didn't do it right, or maybe didn't do it at all, like Gliss.
Mm-hmm.
You can get to him now and help him?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, first of all, if you have any pain, that's the big issue. And even if it's not constant pain, it can be intermittent, right? That pain is not normal. Pain is not normal. And there's always something that we can do about it.
Yeah, you said something the other day. You said pain is common.
Pain is common, but it's not
normal.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that goes for so many things. So yeah, we could take a look at your movement, see if there's some, you know, compensation going on from that injury. Even years ago, we're always asking about past medical history and injuries because it will likely affect how you're moving today.
All right. So same and next day appointments that Therapedia offers that. That's different. That's new. I know when I had my first surgery, the first clinic I went to said, "We'll see you in 2 weeks." I was like, "I just had a surgery. Don't I need to get in there quicker or don't what's?" So I felt put off by that. I think it's great that you guys can get people in when there's an acute injury or something that's bothering them, not later when symptoms have faded or it's foggy on why they made the appointment in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Also, no physician referral is needed for most cases, so just go to therapediaportland.com to do that. Kelly, I really appreciate you.
Thanks, John.
And I mean that because I don't think that I could have run without you. So my kids, thank you.
Nice.
I'm not going to get emotional here, but the 20-month-old thanks you that she will hopefully have a dad around who is not hobbling around. So I appreciate you for that.
Well, you've been a great patient. You work hard and could tell from day one that you were very passionate about getting back into what made you happy.
Leave it right here.
So I want you all to listen up. This is important stuff, all right?
Okay. Here we go.
The bald-faced truth.
Call 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750 or text to 64636.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth. Brought to you by High Caliber Millwrights. In need of getting your plant or machinery job done right the first time and on time? Then call High Caliber today.
All right, it's been a great show. We've got still an hour left in front of us. I honestly wanted to continue my thought that I had at the end of last segment, and it's why I think for those of you who listen to the podcast and are able to digest this radio show at your leisure, maybe sometimes you are at an advantage because of that, because there's a real flow to the show. And I know that some people say, look, I listen to you from 12 to 12:30. And other people will tell me, yeah, I listen to you while I'm driving. UPS drivers, FedEx drivers, postal service drivers, anybody who's in the delivery industry. People drop packages at my house and they go, love the show. Get me through my day. I love hearing that. But others, I know, listen to the show wall to wall because I'll hear from you throughout the course of the day. I'll hear from you on Twitter. I'm paying attention to that stuff, and I appreciate all of you that do that. But just to capture some of the synergy of last segment, I mean, there are things that are important to me, and there are things that are not important to me. And just like you, you have things in your life that are important to you. And sometimes my employers, the three employers that I have between the Oregonian, KGW, and the radio stations, they get frustrated with me because I don't care that much about some of the things they care about. I just don't. I'm not into going into the comment section on Oregon Live and engaging with people. If you want to know what I think, you can come to this radio show, you can follow me on Twitter, and you can read my column. That's your space. I do go in there on occasion, but it's a rare occasion when I go into the comment section. But they like that engagement. I don't so much like that engagement. From the radio standpoint, some of the things that, you know, that are important to the marketing and sales reps just aren't important to me. Some of the things that are important to management aren't important to me, but it's why they give me a wide berth. One of the things that's super important to me is family. And I know that it resonates with a lot of you out there who are hardworking people who spend time away from your family, whether it's traveling or working your day, or, you know, you see your kids in the morning, you see your kids at night, and in between you cross your fingers and hope for the best. I know I relate to a lot of you out there. One of the big priorities for me over the last couple of years in having multiple knee surgeries and being that dad who's aging, right? I'm going to be that old dad. I'm 47 years old, and I'm going to be that. I have a 20-month-old. I'm going to be that old dad at school. Like, I'm going to be that guy. One time I was at a baseball game, and I was writing a story about a baseball stadium that was just opening. It was its first game ever played at this stadium. So I show up to the stadium, and literally I leaned against a railing at the stadium. It was, it had green paint on it, and a stripe of green paint was across the back of my jacket that I had on after. So I ended up having to throw away the jacket. Just had this big stripe of green paint across the back of it. That's how new the stadium was. So I had this great idea that I was going to write about the stadium like it, you know, a metaphor for it being a young child, right? It was just born. So lo and behold, I, right before the game started, I see this grandpa who's holding a baby right behind home plate in the stands. He's got a brand new baby. I mean, it looks like it couldn't be a week old at a baseball game. Really out of place. And so I meander down from the press box, and I walk up to the guy, and I said to him, hey, you know, the stadium's opening tonight. It's really cool that you're here. I'd like to write about your granddaughter and the stadium opening. And he looked at me, and he said, granddaughter? He said, that's my daughter. And I thought to myself, oh, sorry, like, there's no way, like, you got your foot in your mouth at that point. You just called this guy old, said you look too old to have a baby. I'm going to be that dad. At 47, the immediate math that I did when my kid was born, I was like, I'm going to be that 60-year-old guy when my youngest is in high school. So not afraid to be 60, but I'm afraid to be old and not able to move around and look like I'm old and not able to be moving around. And I don't want, because I grew up in such an active household, and my memories of my parents at a young age were that after dinner sometimes on nice days in the summer, we would all go over to the local high school after dinner, and my parents would bring baseball and a glove and a bat or a soccer ball. And as a family, we would kick the ball around for, you know, an hour after. This would be like an after dinner thing that happened, you know, a half a dozen times or a dozen times over the course of a summer, where we would just go, hey, what do you guys want to do? Hey, everybody get in the car. We're going to go over to the park. And I will remember my dad, who played professional baseball, being able to do the most amazing thing. All kids think of their dads as the biggest, strongest, most amazing person in their life. Maybe it's a mom, but in my case, my dad could, because he was a professional baseball player, he could take a wood bat, which he had, which was his Louisville Slugger that he used in games, and he could take a baseball, and he could take a glove, and he could throw the baseball up with his glove hand, and he could hit a foul pop-up that would go 100, 200 feet above his head. I mean, he would swing full swing, and the ball would go so high up into the sky that you'd lose it. Then he could put the glove on, set the bat down, and run just a few feet away and catch the ball on its way down. It was the most amazing thing to me to see a guy hit a pop-up that high to himself and catch it. I will never forget him being able to do that and being able to run with me. And it wasn't until I was a senior in high school that I could beat my dad in a foot race. I remember us racing, And I got a photograph of him raising my arm like I've won a boxing match where I finally beat him in a foot race. But to me, the thing that resonated with me through all of that and why it's important to me and why as I was talking to the physical therapist from Therapedia that it wasn't that I was getting emotional. It's that it's an emotional thing to me that I care very deeply about not being that geriatric old dad who can't run around with his kids and isn't active. That's important to me. And it's important. Maybe it's more important to me than it is to my kids because, you know, in the end, my kids will probably love me no matter what. But I just think that being active and not having and having the ability when the youngest is playing soccer or softball or volleyball or whatever she picks to do. The three-year-old is now saying she wants to play football. But I think having the ability to run around with your kids and be active and be in shape and live longer and therefore be happier is such an important unifying thing that I don't know if anybody out there would say, nah, I'm not in favor of that. I'm not okay with that. And yet we look around and what do we see? We see a nation of people who are struggling with weight. We see a nation of people who are struggling with a variety of health problems. We see the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States being bankrupt by healthcare medical bills. That's the number one cause. It's not irresponsibility. It's people who are underinsured who incur a horrible illness or struggle with their own physical well-being. So I think as we look around the country and we see those things, I mean, this is a conversation that is a very difficult conversation to have with people who are strangers with you. But I think we can have it with ourselves that we all need to be healthier. We all need to get more sleep. We need to hydrate better. We need to be healthier. We need to be more health conscious. You need to stop smoking. You need to eat better, make better choices when you are eating. And I'm not talking about being so militant that you can't enjoy your life. I'm just talking about, like, you know, I look at my readout from 2 months ago to now. I was embarrassed 2 months ago when I did the body composition testing with Therapedia, and I'm looking at it now, and in 2 months' time, I've lost 8 pounds of fat and gained a pound of muscle. And all I have done differently in that time is tried to eat better, still eat pizza, still at my Super Bowl party, I had guacamole and chips. And just eat a little smarter, make better decisions. Like when I'm in a restaurant, I'm eating the chicken and the rice and I'm not going for the burger. Make those decisions. And then getting into the gym, we're getting into the gym about 4 days a week, 3 to 4 days a week. And my wife has begun to run, which is something that I enjoy doing alongside her, even though we're on treadmills and we're both listening to podcasts on our headphones. We're there together. And I look over at her and I'm like, it's all, you know, we're running together here. We're in this together. It's something we're doing together. And I've never had that before. I've never, any relationship I've ever been in, I've kind of been on my own doing the workout stuff. So I would encourage you, if you're in a relationship, to drag your spouse to the gym or drag your spouse out to the park and say, look, let's do this together. Because I think when you have that motivation, and I know we have it in our household where there are days I don't feel like going to the gym or I don't feel like working out. And she goes, come on, we'll meet you there. We'll go there. I feel obligated to do it. I feel a duty to do it. And frankly, I look at the kids and I'm like, yeah, I want to be in shape for them. I want to be there for them. I want to not only just be present, but I want to be active and I want to feel good about it. So that's my story. It's not like some miraculous weight loss story, but it's what's important to me. And I think it's part of why you come to the show. But I look at my body fat mass from December 11th. At 20.5 pounds of body fat to today at 12 pounds of body fat. And then I look at my lean muscle going up about a pound and I'm like, okay, even though the scale is only showing me a net difference of about 8 pounds, that's 8 pounds of body fat that I lost and I feel better. And to me, that's the bottom line is I feel better. I'm more active and I'm more able to get around a little bit. And I know this segment of radio was supposed to be about Punch It Audio, but we're going to push that back one more segment. I would just encourage you to get on your own journey, and if there's some reason that you're being held back by a physical limitation, get to Therapedia Portland and let them help you, because Kelly has worked an absolute miracle with me. She just got me stronger, got my core stronger, improved my strength around my knees, and that in conjunction with the work I did at Reflex with the stem cell treatment and the PRP, it's just been an absolute game changer. And I know that you're an army of listeners out there. I was in the Safeway grocery store yesterday, And the produce clerk who had asked me about the reflex stem cell knee treatment that I had, I said to him as I walked by, I yelled out, "Hey, did your wife get in and get the stem cell treatment?" He said, "Not yet. She's still investigating it." And while I was having that conversation, the Odwalla delivery guy is like 10 yards behind him and goes, "I did. I called Reflex. I got the stem cell." And I literally turned to my wife and I'm like, it's like everybody's listening to the show. It's like everybody's doing the everybody's got the same problems. It's very relatable. It's a very relatable thing to have a knee issue that holds you back. So, yes, the two things I swear by, Therapeutia Portland for your physical therapy and ReflexKnees.com if you are in the market for stem cell treatment. The Blazers tickets, current bid $400. Gliss, is that right? Is that where we stand, Alabama Adriana? Gliss, who's tracking the Blazers-Warriors tickets that we're auctioning off?
I'll be honest with you, neither of them are up here at the moment.
No, they're not here. They're probably they're down here. It's at 400. He's like 2 feet from me, and I'm trying to talk to him on the sixth floor. I'm sorry. $400 is the current bid for the Blazers Warriors tickets that we have for tomorrow night's Valentine's Day game. If you're just tuning in, if we have we have a pair of tickets for that Valentine's night game, 7:30 tip off. They are great seats in the lower level. If you are a Blazers fan or a Warriors fan, or if you're just a fan of Valentine's Day and you needed something to do, if you needed to be a hero and be like, you know what, we've got to go out and have something to do, I have a pair of tickets in section 117. They are lower level baseline tickets. Underneath the same basket that Paul Allen, the owner of the Blazers, sits in. You're just going to be a stone's throw from Paul Allen as he's eating his popcorn and watching the game, enjoying his Valentine. You can have a couple of tickets there as well in Row P by calling 503-417-7575. The current bid's $400. We'll close the bidding at 3 o'clock, so grab and make that bid now, and we email you the tickets. You can make the payment via credit card. It's all clean and easy. And the real winner, the kids of the BFT Foundation. Leave it here. Don't tweet at me if you want to win the Warriors Blazers tickets. You have to call in to place your bid. Alabama Adriana, what is the current high bid for the Warriors Blazers tickets? Do we have that number handy, or is she on the phone?
No, it's phone? It's $400 right now.
$400. We're looking for a $450 bid. That's below market value for two tickets in the lower level of the lower level. So if you want to go to the Warriors Blazers game, you can do that. Alabama Adriana, you have also been touting Kern Park Flower Shop, KernParkPortlandFlowers.com online as a Valentine's special. Speaking as the resident female of the show, would flowers from Kern Park Flower Shop be along in conjunction with a Blazer game be like a dream night?
Yeah, honestly, I don't really think that there's anything better. Kern Park actually sent me flowers not long ago, and their arrangements are seriously amazing.
You can call Kern Park Flower Shop. They've been in business in the Portland area more than 100 years. Their number is 503-771-9000. If you've waited to the last minute, I would encourage you to call them, 503-771-9000. They'll take your order. And for the Blazers tickets, if you want to bid on the Blazers-Warriors tickets, I don't know if Steve Kerr is going to coach the game. I don't know. Last night he didn't coach. But I can tell you that it'll be a fun event, and it'll be a memorable Valentine's Day. 7:30 tip-off tomorrow night at the building formerly known as the Rose Garden Arena. The current bid, $400. Alabama Adriana waiting to take your other. Basically, it's not a bid. It's a donation to the BFT Foundation is what it is. You can make that donation by calling 503-417-7575. 7575. Let's play Punch It.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth Headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio,
presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
We're going to start with women's hockey, where the United States had a 4-0 lead on the Olympic athletes from Russia. Punch it.
Here comes Duggan, right wing attack. The American captain got by one. Left it. Shot from Palki. Save. Loose puck. Score! Pounded home in front by Gigi Marvin, and it's 4-0.
Gigi Marvin and the United States Olympic athletes routed the Russian women's team in hockey. Russia's in a load of trouble in this Olympics. Lopsided on the ice. Not very breathtaking from the Russian side, but from the beginning to the end, United States beat Russia 5-0, moving to 2-0 in the tournament. This is headed to a Canada-USA showdown. The Canadian team is the one team that prevents the United States from claiming superiority in the sport. And Canada, for those of you who don't know, this is all Canada goes to the Olympics for. Maybe that and a little figure skating. Canada, all they want to do is win hockey and that's it. And I was in Vancouver when the Canadian men and women won gold. And the Canadians were angry and celebrating in the streets with their win over the United States there. This will be really interesting to see. Can we close the gap on the team and the country to the north for us? I think it's a big, big moment of nationalism and pride for Canada that we're looking to cut into. Damian Lillard was on the Jim Rome show today. He talked about that meeting with Paul Allen a few weeks back. Punch it.
The point of it was only to see what direction it was going in. I think, you know, people get so caught up in who the top teams are and all that stuff that sometimes we even look at them that way instead of, you know, really attacking how we could become one of them. And I just, you know, the meeting was only about how can we move in that direction. And I left the meeting feeling fine.
Really cool to hear Lillard talk about talking with that meeting with Paul Allen. I like that he's talking to his players, but the bigger question is, is he listening? Will he follow what Damian Lillard is recommending? And will they be competitive moving forward, or will the Blazers continue to sort of just be a team that plays in the Western Conference? Again, when you look at the standings in the Western Conference, there are 8 teams that are within 3 games in the win column of that number 3 seed. So it is a very precarious position to be in, and also an exciting position to be in, where you could be the 3 seed or you could be out of the playoffs depending on a couple of games swing. It means you've got to show up every night. It means you've got to win your home games. Lillard talks about how they prep for a team like the Warriors coming to Portland on Wednesday night. Punch it.
We want to go into this break strong, and that's a tough game to finish it with, but if we're still thinking about the Utah game and what we could have did better, how we lost the game, you know, that's a setup of going into this one and getting ran at the gym. So,
Warriors coming off a 46-point win over Phoenix last night, which Steve Kerr's having to answer a lot of questions about whether or not he should have been coaching in that huddle. I'll be curious to see with what kind of passion and alacrity the Warriors play with on Wednesday night. Blazers need this one. It would be a quality win. It would be a win nobody expects them to get. And it gives us an opportunity to see a potential first-round matchup in the playoffs up close. And by the way, if you want to place a bid on those tickets, bid is currently $600 for those 2 lower-level tickets to the Blazers-Warrior game tomorrow night. We're looking for a $650 bid at 503-417-7575. Comedian Kevin Hart played a major role in the last several years in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game. Turns out he was mic'd up for those appearances. Punch it.
Did they contract on 3? 1, 2, 3! Did they contract? Yes!
Off.
Rebound! Rebound!
Coach, first of all, did you see my board?
Hey, Dikembe, if you shoot that again, you're going out the game!
Chris, don't do it, Chris. Not today, Chris. It won't happen today. You definitely don't do it.
Hey, Bruce, don't get yanked on.
It's called contact. Get used to it, Chris. It's when, sorry. This long day. Long day. I thought it was going to go. Respect the line.
Yeah, I know.
Respect your coach's line.
No, I see.
No, that's your line.
You're going to run an octagon. Just think of the shape of an octagon.
What rhymes with 3-time MVP? Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart, your MVP, with 5 points, 3 rebounds, and only 1 more assist than I had.
At this point, I can't do no more. It's Kobe, LeBron, me. It's just... Thank you! Oh, my goodness!
Kevin Hart, who wasn't that funny at the Super Bowl. I think it was funny at the Super Bowl. He was relatable at the Super Bowl in rare form for the NBA's All-Star weekend. It makes me think about, though, the idea that Portland, you know, we always talk about Portland as a destination city because we love Portland, right? Do you know the one thing that Paul Allen hasn't had besides a championship? He hasn't had an opportunity to host the All-Star game. The NBA snubbed Portland. Snubbed him again. We talk about Damian Lillard being snubbed. I don't think it's a snub when a guy who's a fringe All-Star doesn't make an All-Star game. But you know what a snub is? Portland not getting consideration for Chicago and Indianapolis. Droz, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What kind of sports city would Portland be if it got an All-Star game?
It would at least be put on the map a little bit more, I think, because then you get maybe the casual basketball fan who sees Portland and says, hey, you know, maybe that's a place that needs more sports in the professional level.
Yeah, and I think the NBA has the slogan, the NBA cares, right? So, but does the NBA care about Portland? I don't think so. I won't believe it because Chicago got the 2020 bid. Indianapolis got the 2021 bid. Portland will bid for the 2022 All-Star game. They'll put together a bid. The team is in charge of that, but they get some help, like the Oregon Sports Authority and the city of Portland can get behind them. You have the Convention Center Hotel project that will be done before that. But I look around the NBA, you know, no knock on Chicago or Indianapolis or even New Orleans. New Orleans has had the event three times since 2008, and Portland can't get it. Since 2000, the All-Star game has been held in California three times, fourth time this season. It'll be held in Texas twice, including once in a football stadium. It was held in Canada. In 10 of the last 17 seasons, the host of the All-Star game has been hosted by a city who's repeating as host. I keep thinking to myself, like, people in Portland may be like, no, we want a championship. Yeah, of course you want a championship. But this is something the NBA can control. An All-Star game in a city like Portland. And the knock has been, we don't have the hotel rooms. We don't have the space for sponsors and the teams and the players, they're going to want five-star hotels. They're going to want four-star hotels. Well, that Convention Center hotel project solves that problem. So I don't know what the NBA is waiting to hear or waiting to see. Or if the NBA is just looking at Portland going, you know what, we've had it in New York five times. We've had it in Phoenix three times. Denver's had it twice. Portland's never had it. So the Oregon Sports Authority and Jim Etzel, who's now in charge of that, you've got your work cut out for you, but the Blazers have to put together that bid, and it's got to include a convention center hotel project that will be finished on time. Because I think this is an event that's not just an All-Star game, it's an All-Star weekend. It's the skills competition, it's the dunk competition, it's the three-point competition. It would be a weekend. And that 600 hotel room project that's going to be finished in 2019 would be a big piece of it, that convention center hotel. And I, you know, look, I get that people in Portland will go, hey, look, we're just happy to be in the NBA. I don't think you should just be happy to be anywhere. I think the NBA should give Portland an All-Star game. It would be fun that if we were hosting this event this season. Leave it right here. Are you watching The Bachelor? I'm not in charge of my television on a night like last night when The Bachelor was on. I watched them Olympics early. I watched them Olympics late. In between, I was put to sleep by this Bachelor episode. Guys, help me out here. Ladies who watch The Bachelor, is he not the most boring Bachelor ever? There was a scene last night. He was in Italy and he got what looked like vanilla ice cream. And I thought, yep. That's him. Vanilla ice cream. He's boring. And you know what else? He has bad taste. Because you know what? Women and guys watch The Bachelor differently. Ladies are watching The Bachelor, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Alabama Adriana, you're watching The Bachelor, and you're looking at it from a competition standpoint. How would I win this game show? How would I angle here? And what's this guy about? And oh, isn't it romantic that they're in Paris and they're in Italy and they're taking it in? I think guys watch The Bachelor and they put themselves in position of the bachelor and immediately start eliminating people when they're getting out of the limousine. Nope, she's out. She's out. She's a finalist. She's a finalist. She's out. Adriana, you're watching that show? You watching The Bachelor?
Yeah.
All right. So how do you watch it?
Well, this is the first season that I've actually watched it. I've seen like recaps of other seasons, but this is the first time I've actually watched it all the way through and through. I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's a reality TV show and it's a lot of like created drama.
Yeah, you can feel the producers that are behind the scenes kind of orchestrating the tempo of the show, but I find him boring. Is he exciting to you? Would you like to be a contestant on that show?
Absolutely not.
Not
even just for him, but to like stand the girls and the drama and all that, it just would not be good. But he is exceptionally boring and not yep. He doesn't really bring much to the table in my eyes.
It surprises me that he's on that show. I want your take on not The Bachelor. I want your take on what you thought of Steve Kerr not coaching the Warriors last night. He's coming to Portland tomorrow night. He's already in town today. He could be listening to the show. They're playing 7:30 at Moda Center, Warriors at Blazers. I have a pair of tickets that we are auctioning off to the highest bidder. We're looking for a donation to the BFT Foundation. The current high bid is $600. I'm looking on StubHub at those lower-level baseline tickets in Section 117. And StubHub's average price in that section is about $350 a ticket. So we're still undervalued at $600 for the pair of tickets. So if you are somebody out there that wants to make a donation to the BFT Foundation, we're looking for a bid of $700 to be the leading bidder on these tickets. We'll close the auction here in about 22 minutes. You can call 503-417-7575 to place your bid. To the or your donation bid to the 501c3 nonprofit organization, the Bald Faced Truth Foundation, helping kids in art, music, education, and athletics. The vast majority of grant requests that we get are for either activities that kids cannot afford to pay the participation fee for, so you're going to make some activities happen for kids in the process of having a Valentine's Day date, or it's from teachers in the classroom who are boots on the ground going, hey, we don't have books. We don't have the ability to do this lesson that we want to do. We don't have the ability to go on a field trip because you know what happened? The state and it's in its quest to balance the budget, it's just said to school teachers, figure it out. And that's where the Bald Faced Truth Foundation comes in. Like, we do a lot of stuff on this show, okay? We do a lot of stuff where, you know, we do a radio show. I tap dance for 3 hours. We talk about sports. We take phone calls. I talk about my kids and my health. And we try to entertain you. We try to make you feel. But in the end, if we can't help some kids and some school teachers, then what the hell are we doing? So if you want to help the foundation, just go to baldfacetruth.org. You can make a donation there. Or if you want to bid on the tickets, you can do that by calling 503-417-7575 and upping that $600 bid that will close here promptly at 3 o'clock. Let's go to the phone lines. Ben's in Beaverton. Ben, what's on your mind?
Hey, man, sorry I'm a little late to the party. I called you right when you brought up the topic of Steve Kerr letting his guy coach. Called in, got placed on hold, and had to go into a sales meeting.
Bummer. Blow off the sales meeting. Where do you stand on that?
Well, as somebody who grew up in the 602 before there was three area codes, I would have to actually side on the side of Steve Kerr on this one. We don't know what happens in the locker rooms. We don't know the locker room discussions. But as a youth football coach, I've had many times with my players where I had certain agreements with them. If we were at a certain point differential by the game, I would let them play different positions than they normally do, let them try out different things. And, you know, it's not like it was overt. He didn't have a center out there running the point. He just let a couple guys get on the clipboard. And we don't know what conversation. Those guys may have designs to be coaches after their career is done. And finally, if you don't want to get embarrassed, then don't let somebody beat the brakes off you in the gym and toughen up and play some D. And don't let them go up on you by 30, 40 points.
I wonder, I get your point, but I wonder when the game was decided. See, if you're the Phoenix Suns, was this game decided last night, or was this game decided when Kevin Durant and Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Steve Kerr all got together and said this could be a really special thing. Like, there's part of me that I agree with much of what the caller said, because I am a big proponent of saying, look, it's competition. And if Steve Kerr says, I'm doing what's best for my team because I want to pull together my guys and get them on the same page and get them thinking as a cohesive unit by allowing them to coach each other, I don't think that's a bad thing for the Warriors. Like, I totally get what Steve Kerr is doing, but I think this one has a lot of tentacles, because while that may be good for Steve Kerr, it might also chap the hide. It might stick in the craw of the Phoenix Suns as they look across and go, hey, look, we don't have four All-Stars on our roster. In fact, our best players hurt tonight. We're trying the best we can. We're undermanned in a league that has set itself up for these power teams. We find ourselves outgunned and overmanned. And on top of that, Steve Kerr is embarrassing us tonight. Like, I totally get that. The other thing, though, is from the fans' perspective, and that's why I say this thing has a lot of tentacles. From the fans' perspective, what was the problem last season when NBA teams started resting star players? Fans said, wait a minute, why am I paying $300 for a lower level, 100 level ticket to see the Warriors play the Blazers if Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are going to sit down because Steve Kerr wants to rest guys? That's a bad look when the team says, hey, this game not as important to us as something else, which was resting those players. So wasn't Steve Kerr last night essentially saying the same thing against the Phoenix Suns? Wasn't he saying, look, we can win this game without playing our best guys? And so something else becomes important to me. And that something else for Kerr was, hey, I want my guys to learn to play together, work together a little better, so I'm going to have them coach each other. So he put that in front, I think, of giving the game the utmost importance that it deserves. That is a league issue. That's something where if this continues, I could see Adam Silver going, hey, coaches, look, I get the idea of you wanting to give a clipboard to a guy in the huddle, but, you know, can we make this a every game is important kind of feel to the league? Like, if you're the commissioner of the NBA, are you happy with this? Or is this much ado about nothing? Because I think it's a very complex issue. And I think people want to brush it away and say, oh, no, what's the big deal? Let them do it. And other people want to say, oh, no, this is clearly poor form. I think this one's got a lot of tentacles. I think it's hairy. I think it's a lot of shades of gray. I think it's not clean and easy to make that decision when you see a game where a coach says, look, we're so much better than them that I don't need to coach tonight. I can let my guys coach. And on the same From the same standpoint, the fans are in the stands going, oh, how funny, Draymond Green's in there, Andre Iguodala is in there. But I'm wondering if fans who paid full price for those tickets are going, yeah, if this game's a foregone conclusion and Steve Kerr understands he doesn't have to coach it, why am I here? 503-417-7575, weigh in on that. And also, if you want to place a bid on those Blazers-Warriors tickets, Valentine's Day date, 16 minutes left in that auction. You can pledge a bid of $650 to become the leading bidder right now. The bid is $600. 503-417-7575. You get the bald-faced truth on the BFT Radio Network. To this radio show by subscribing to the Bald Faced Truth on SoundCloud and iTunes. Rick Barry was with us earlier in the program, 1975 NBA champion, also a guy who's in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. Opinionated, outspoken, always interesting to me. Talked a lot about players who aren't equipped to play the game the proper way. Sounded arrogant in doing so, but that's Rick Barry. Later, we had Baxter Holmes on, which what I thought was the best interview today. ESPN writer who's written a story about the Secret Wine Society going on inside the NBA. You can go to SoundCloud and grab the podcast of that. Or if you're an Apple, an iPhone user, you can get the podcast on iTunes. Very easy. That little purple podcast icon or app that comes with the phone. You buy the phone. It's on there already. All you have to do is click the podcast app and search for Bald Face Truth and then hit subscribe. Subscribe to that, and Alabama Adriana will magically and mysteriously, not so mysteriously maybe, send you the podcasts as she puts them together. I get alerts on my phone all day long as Alabama Adriana is updating them and editing them and packaging them in convenient ways for you. The whole three-hour radio show is podcast, and then individually she takes the interviews that run, you know, anywhere from 8 minutes to 25 minutes, and she individually podcasts those as well, so you can share them with friends, and you can listen to what I call the meat and potatoes of this radio program. We are still taking bids in the next 10 minutes. You're down under 10 minutes, really, to place a donation bid for the pair of tickets we have to tomorrow night's Valentine's Night game between the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trail Blazers. It would make a great date night on Valentine's night. It's more about you being in an event and being in a cool space and sharing Valentine's with your Valentine. But if you don't have plans yet for Valentine's night, you can call 503-417-7575 and you can place a bid. The current bid is $600, but Alabama Adriana is waiting and standing by. The winning bidder will notify you at 3 o'clock that you're the winning bidder, and we'll take your credit card information, and we will email you over the tickets. That happens at 3 o'clock, and so now we're at about 8.5 minutes from there, and I will give you updates as the bids come in this segment. On StubHub, I'm seeing those same tickets in that same lower-level section in Row P, Section 117, seeing about $355 for one single ticket. So I would think we could get that donation bid to the BFT Foundation up around $700 or $800, and everybody would feel good about it. So if you are wanting to go above the $600 current bid, you can do that at 503-417-7575. A little bit of housekeeping on today's show. In addition to all the podcasts and great information that we had, I want to thank the team from Therapedia that came out and did in-body body composition screening for people who just wanted to stop by the live broadcast that is going on in the PacWest Center's live studio. Ed Sheeran has played this room. Taylor Swift has played this room. I don't know if anybody played it better than Therapedia, because they did that body composition screening. And people came in. It was really interesting. People came in. Some people weren't sure because they thought, I don't want to get my body fat. But I think what they got in the printout wasn't just lean muscle mass and body fat, but they got whether they were symmetrical, they got goals, they got a lot of data that maybe they didn't even understand before coming in. And then they got the team from Therapedia sitting down with them and kind of explaining what it all means and what it is. And so what I found from more than one person was they came in a little apprehensive, but they walked away feeling like, hey, I'm really good. I got some baseline information. I got an idea of what I need to do when it comes to my health and fitness and well-being. So I want to thank Therapedia, therapediaportland.com, if you want to see if you're interested in that in-body body composition screening, or you're an employer, better yet, it's a great team builder. And if you're an employer that's paying part of healthcare premiums, bring them in. Have them talk about wellness. Have them talk about body composition. I had a whole bunch of people who work at the radio station who came down to the live studio and said, hey, you know what, I heard you on and I wanted to see what this is about. And they came down and they did the screening, and Jason and Kelly and the team talked them through it, and they left better for it. All right. Also, on today's show, we talked a lot about Steve Kerr. I want to close the loop on this one. See, we want things to be black and white in sports. We want a winner. We want a loser. And with our kids, with grades, we want an A, we want a B. We'll talk to them when they get C's, D's, and F's, and there'll be consequences probably in your household if you bring bad grades in. But we want things in sports to be black and white. We want everything to be black and white in life and in sports. The problem is, more often than not, life isn't black and white. It's not a yes-no answer. And I think about this when I tell stories as a columnist at The Oregonian. One of the amazing things to me is it's very rarely a black and white story. It's always shades of gray. Life is always knotted and gnarled, and there's problems and overcome, and you have to overcome, and there's adversity that needs to be dealt with. And a lot of the journey and the stories that I hear from people is about how they overcome adversity and how they work through problems. So with our sports questions, we always want it to be easy, and it very rarely is. And with the case of Steve Kerr, who hands the clipboard to his players during the game and says, you coach the team. Let's see what you do with this. Let's see what you do during a timeout. I think it's a really interesting dynamic that's created. I simultaneously think this is good for the Warriors. Like, I think Steve Kerr, as the coach of the Warriors, was trying to do a good thing. I also think that the Phoenix Suns on the other end of this were offended by it. And I don't think they could help it. They talked about it afterwards. They said it bothered them. They felt shown up. They felt embarrassed. That, well, you know, the Warriors don't even need a coach tonight. They're that much better than us. And the answer to that is yes. I also think from the fan perspective, it sends a very dangerous message that the NBA is a place where there is such a disparity in talent and ability and quality of play that on a given night, on a Monday night of NBA play, a bad team suited up and playing as hard as it can possibly play can look across at a team that says, we don't even need a coach tonight, and you're going to be charged full price for that ticket, by the way. I think that's a dangerous message for the league to be sending to fans. So I think it's one of those cases where there isn't a clean answer. It's not an easy and clean answer. And then another issue that we talked about on the show today, snowboarding. Gliss, did you watch the snowboarding? Alabama Adriana, did you watch the snowboarding? I want your feedback on that.
Yeah, I've watched it a little bit. My kids find it entertaining, so it makes me feel a little bit cooler, I guess.
Did it make you want to snowboard?
Absolutely not. I feel like I would hurt myself immediately snowboarding.
Alabama Adriana, did it make you want to go right to Mount Hood?
Yeah, because I've never done it before, and I really want to try.
All right, why don't you try that and let us live vicariously through you, because I also was like, damn, I wish I would have tried that when I was younger, you know, because it looks so cool.
Yeah, it kind of looks like it'd be hard on the knees making all those landings and stuff, but I think it'd be cool to try anyway.
I think what they don't show us is how many times those snowboarders have face planted in training and face planted as they were kids learning how to snowboard. They make it look so easy and so graceful and so athletic. And that's why I watch the Olympics, though. It's like because you see the best in the world doing the best in the world. The current bid, still $600 on those tickets?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. If you want to go above the $600, we're at 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in this radio auction, auctioning off a pair of Valentine's Day tickets for the Blazers and the Warriors tomorrow night. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. I'll leave you with this thought. It's the most important thing I shared on today's show was that I think that personal moment that I shared, I think it was late in the 1 o'clock hour, early in the 2 o'clock hour, where I talked about wanting to be, not to be that young, that older dad. I wanted to, you know, even though I am going to be that older dad, I don't want my kids to view me as that older dad. I want, it would be my dream that my youngest would never grow up going, my dad's the old guy who's there. He can't move around with me. He's not active. So with that in mind, it's why it's become so important to me to stay in shape, and it's been important to me, therefore, to have my knees and the cartilage in my knees and the muscles in my body be able to sustain moving around and being active. So, you know, if you're somebody out there who's wrestling with that same type of stuff that I'm wrestling with, maybe use it as a little hope that in just 2 months' time, I've shed about 8 pounds of body fat, added lean muscle mass, and I feel better. So keep that in mind and, you know, join that journey with me as I continue under construction. I'm going to have an under construction t-shirt made. It'll have tape on it, but it'll be printed on there. So don't trademark that before I do. Before I go, John's Waterproofing, bettercrawlspaces.com. That's the website you need to know about. John's Waterproofing can help you, whether it's your basement or your crawl space, standing water, mold, mildew, whatever the problem is, John's Waterproofing is on your side and they're there for you. They are the experts and they can give you a free consultation. Here's how you get a free consultation. You just go to the website, bettercrawlspaces.com. John's Waterproofing can help you fix that crawl space. They can help you eliminate the mold. They can help you fix the problem that's causing the mold. If there's standing water under there, they can get it out of there. That's what John's Waterproofing does. And we live it. We live in a place, frankly, in the Pacific Northwest where there is standing water and there's rain and there's moisture. John's Waterproofing can help you. Go to bettercrawlspaces.com. Leave it right here. The Bald-Faced Truth, not here for a long time, just a good time.